93.3 WMMR, Audio on Demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, April 10th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a topless protester who appeared on several episodes of The Cosby Show as a child jumped a barricade and got within a few feet of Bill Cosby on Monday as the comedian entered the courthouse in Norristown for the start of his sexual assault retrial.
It was wild footage, man.
Yeah. The woman, whose body was scrawled with names of more than 50 Cosby accusers, as well as words, Women's Lives Matter, ran in front of Cosby toward a bank of TV cameras, but was intercepted by sheriff deputies and led away in handcuffs. Cosby seemed startled by the commotion as a half dozen protesters chanted at him. The protester, 39-year-old Nicole Rochelle of Little Falls, New Jersey, was charged with disorderly conduct.
The protester
released.
Was the prosecutor?
No.
Wow.
That is a bold legal move.
It is. No, I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what, though. Yesterday, I finally believed that Cosby's blind because the woman's basically in front of him, and he's not even looking at her, and he's leaning over because his lawyer's describing what's happening.
And the dude loves boobs.
And he loves boobs.
He would have been
God
all over.
God damn it. Yeah.
Who is that guy with the glasses that's always with him? Does anybody know?
I think that's his handler, his legal team.
Yeah, he explains everything to him. Like, even when he steps out of the car, that guy leans over and will, to me, that's what it seems like. He's explaining the scene and what's happening, what's going on, and what people are saying.
So the woman's name is Nicole Rochelle, right?
Yeah.
And so when she bolts out in front of him, Cosby's just standing there, like he's looking off. He's not even, he wouldn't pass up a pair of boobs.
Yeah.
But he looks down and the guy leans in to explain what's going on.
Yeah.
I think we do have the audio of her going nuts.
I don't know if we have it over or not yet. So, Marissa, did you get a chance to send it over?
But, okay. But it's one of the worst chants I've ever heard.
Yeah, here we go.
Hey, hey, hey! Women's lives matter! Hey, hey, hey!
I have no idea what she's saying. Other
hey,
than
hey,
that.
Hey, yeah. Hey, hey, women's hey. Lives matter.
And Cosby's hearing, hey, hey, hey.
Right, yeah. Right.
Oh, there's a fan. There's a, get my autograph.
Well, you know what? She probably did that on purpose.
There you go.
I think at the last trial, didn't he say, hey, yeah. Hey, hey, at some point?
Maybe you're right. Play the chant with this.
Right. Hang on. I'll try to get this.
Okay.
Yeah, that works.
I had to time it out properly.
It's tough.
Hey, hey, hey! Women's lives matter! Hey, hey, hey!
I missed that part.
Yeah, I can't figure out what she's saying in the next part. Aren't you supposed to make it rhyme?
Yeah, right? But they never do. It's the worst chant.
While all that stuff is getting painted on your body, I assume she had like a friend doing that. Maybe you come up with something in your mind.
Yeah, you do the painting and compose a simple chant.
Hey, 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 women's lives matter. Hey, 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 we don't want your baby batter.
Something like that.
Okay.
Oh, man, they tackled her in this bush. She's going to be scraped.
When
up.
I first saw the footage of the cops, I thought they'd found a kitten in the bushes or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe could you, like, tackle me in the grass?
Yeah, right.
But there's no grass.
And I met a lot of those sheriff's deputies when I was doing my jury duty, because that's part of their job. They serve all the warrants, and they make sure that everybody gets into court and all that stuff. That had to be slightly exciting for them.
Absolutely.
Because I can imagine you can get a little mundane around the courthouse.
To see something like that?
I don't think it's mundane now with Cosby.
No.
I think they're going to get more of this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, did you see the way she leapt over the fence?
Uh-uh. Yeah, yeah,
she did
like a
quick gymnastic move over the fence. She rips off the top.
It's like a pommel horse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bolts over the fence, starts her hey, hey, hey chant.
Wow. Nice.
Stunk. And
she looks loony.
And she looks, but she apparently, she was on the show a couple times.
Yeah, apparently. So she says the main goal was to make Cosby uncomfortable because that is exactly what he has been doing for decades to women, and to show him that the body can be aggressive and empowered, she said afterwards. Rochelle, an actress, said that she didn't have any bad experiences with Cosby when she was on the show, nor did she intend to physically hurt him. She is a member of the European Feminist Group, which is known for staging topless protests around the world.
Oh, all right, there you go.
All right.
Cosby's.
I'm sorry. We have a clip from an interview with her if you want to hear that on Inside Edition. This is her talking about why topless and so on.
What were you trying to accomplish?
Well, I guess in the end, I wanted him to feel uncomfortable
the way that he made other women feel.
Why topless?
Because it's a way of empowering the woman's body and using it as a political tool, as opposed to the body being sexualized as it so often is.
But we could see your boobies.
Hey, listen. She believes he did that stuff, and if her goal was to make him feel uncomfortable, I think that the dude probably did it as well. But I'm not in court, but.
No, I believe it. The problem is you can't do that in front of a blind dude.
Seriously.
It's like, what the hell is this? This is a fan. Is... Hey, dude.
Cosby spokesman.
Leonard Part 6.
Cosby spokesman Andrew Wyatt praised deputies for their quick action but urged court officials to increase security. In their opening statement, prosecutors say Cosby paid Andrea Constand $3.4 million in a confidential settlement a dozen years ago. It's not confidential anymore.
Yeah, $3.4 million is a nice chunk of change.
The 80-year-old comedian who has said the sexual contact was consensual faces 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault, each punishable by up to 10 years in prison.
Wasn't he in a movie called Mother, Love, and Jugs?
Yes, he was.
Oh, Jugs.
Jugs was, Jugs. You know, Jugs was. Raquel Welch.
Ah, yes.
And Harvey Keitel was in that, too. They were ambulance drivers.
Okay.
So do we know how the trial's expected to be about a month long? Is that what we were hearing?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure there'll be more of this.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. Maybe we should run down.
Seriously. Michael Cohen, the longtime attorney of President Trump, is under federal investigation for possible bank fraud, wire fraud, and campaign finance violations, the Washington Post reported. FBI agents on Monday raided Cohen's Manhattan office, home, and hotel room as part of the investigation, seizing records about Cohen's clients and personal finances. Among the records taken were those related to a 2016 payment Cohen made to adult film star Stormy Daniels, who claims to have had a sexual encounter with Trump.
One time I showed up to do a voiceover, Preston, that was at like an industrial park where this recording studio was. It was really early in the morning, and as I'm pulling into the parking lot, these cars come wailing past me, pull up in front of a business across the parking lot.
Is it raid?
And a raid. They go running in, and they coming out with documents and all that stuff. I'm like, oh man,
wow.
It was wild. I was completely innocent, but I'm like, what did I do?
I saw a staging area for one time.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't see them. I saw them all getting uh-huh. ready. They got outside. They were putting their gear on.
Practicing, yeah.
They were
yeah.
like, they were just getting ready to go. To it.
Wow.
So did you walk up and ask them, hey, what are you guys
doing? Hey, guys, where
are you guys going?
Hey, guys,
yeah, some radio broadcaster in the area.
Good morning, guys. Apparently
a former foot model.
You guys reading something?
Yeah. But they were at a car lot, like, you know, and that was their meeting place before heading. And I was like, oh, can I come along?
Yeah,
you
know, sure. Agent Elliot. Elliot Ness.
Guys playing cards?
Yeah. Oh, boy, this is going to be great.
And they usually let people just tag along.
Sure. Yeah. You'd had a few. You went home, you got your shotgun.
Investigators took Cohen's computer, phone, and personal financial records, including tax returns, as part of the search of his office at Rockefeller Center. In a dramatic and broad seizure, federal prosecutors collected communications between Cohen and his clients, including those between the lawyer and Trump, according to people with knowledge of the case. Authorities in New Jersey say several girls jumped from a balcony to escape a fire at a dance studio. It happened around 7 o'clock Monday at the multi-use building in Edgewater. Business owner Tony Nahum tells NewJersey.com that he and Edgewater police officer Jimmy Dalton were able to help some of the girls down with ladders before they fell. Video shows other girls jumping from the balcony to escape the blaze. The fire was contained in about 2 hours. The 15 girls were treated for minor injuries. The building that caught fire houses multiple businesses, including a dance studio and a hookah lounge. Fire officials are investigating the cause of the fire.
Do you have ladders in your house?
I yep. do. I have a couple of them on the upper floor just in case, and I'm hoping that in a crisis moment that I will remember where they are.
Yeah.
That I have them and where they are.
You'll be tying pantyhose together.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I know where mine is. Like, and it's, you know, I don't have it up high where I wouldn't be able to reach it. You know, anybody can grab it and throw it out the window.
I've got one in my walk-in closet, and then there's another one on the upper floor. I just don't know where it is. I should probably figure that out.
I bought one because it's 3 stories, and my wife is up on the upper level, and I bought one, and I said, just kind of leave it in this general area, and I don't see it there anymore. I know she packed it away.
Yeah, she put it away.
We'll never find it again.
Do you have sprinklers in your house, though, Press?
No.
Oh, you don't?
No. Do you guys?
Yeah, we do.
No.
We have, like, our township apparently is pretty strict. Like, we have a giant, like, the fire alarm bell that you would see in school.
Is in your house?
One. Yes, all of our houses have to have
that. Wow.
Them. Yes.
Really?
Yep. You know what? I'll take a picture of it tonight.
Yeah.
Well,
that's good because you like to smoke in bed.
I don't think I've ever seen that in a private home before.
I had never heard of it until I moved to Plymouth Township.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that, is that a smoke alarm?
No, I don't think it's a smoke alarm. I think that is what will alert the fire department, I believe.
That's crazy.
It'll wake you up.
Oh, it'll certainly wake you up.
So
oh,
it's loud fire enough that the fire department will hear it.
I guess.
Yeah. That's crazy. Oh, wow.
Can you take a picture of it?
Yeah, I'm going to I'm going to take a picture of it. Okay. Yeah, for sure. All right, let's do sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
For the first time in his career, Ben Simmons has been named Eastern Conference Player of the Week.
Yeah.
Simmons led the Sixers to a 4-0 record last week, beating Brooklyn, Detroit, Cleveland, and Dallas. In the four wins, he averaged 18.5 points, 10 rebounds, and 8.8 assists per game, and shot better than 70% from the field. The Sixers won 14 games in a row, with two games remaining in the regular season, are in third place in the Eastern Conference. They're in Atlanta tonight to take on the last-place Hawks, and tip-off is set for 7:30. Pinch hitter Nick Williams hit a tie-breaking solo home run in the bottom of the eighth inning to lift the Phillies to a 6-5 win over the Cincinnati Reds last night at the ballpark. Scott Kingery homered for the first time in his career. Rhys Hoskins went 1-for-3 and is hitting .429 on the season. The Phils are at home tonight as the series against the Reds continues. It's Dollar Dog Night in Aaron Nola gets the start. The first pitch is set for 7:05, and the Flyers have arrived in Pittsburgh as they continue to prepare for tomorrow night's Game 1 against the Penguins. There are no playoff games scheduled for tonight in the NHL, but three series, including the Flyers and Penguins, begin tomorrow. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thanks a bunch, Kat. So we go from yesterday of being a pretty wide-open day, and we come to today, which is jam-packed full of great stuff. And it will include, of course, the birthday bucks. That's going to be your standard. That's going to be absolutely positively 100% the case every day, Monday through Friday, for the next 5 weeks or so. So your chance to win $1,000 is on the way. Speaking of the Stanley Cup playoffs, we're going to have Travis Konecny on the program today. Had a chance to talk to him. What's that?
Konecny.
Konecny. Sorry, what did I say?
Konecny.
Konecny.
He's from Greece.
Let's call him Konecny. Yeah.
It's got a bun in the oven.
Travis Konecny will be joining us later on this morning. And as Kathy had said, they get going against the Penguins tomorrow night. So we'll see where his head is at, how he's doing, and so on. We're also going to have our buddy Mark Summers stopping by for no particular reason other than just to hang out and, you know, kind of kick it around a little
bit.
There's
been some things that have happened in his life.
We want
to catch up to, with what's going on.
Absolutely. And we also have a parade of unbelievable deli sandwiches coming in this morning. So we have a Dietz and Watson Real Philly Deli stop-off. And, in fact, it's not just a stop-off. It's a face-off. So we will have Lennon Italian Specialties, Marinucci's Deli, Foresta's here, Sonny's Italian Deli, and Anna's Corner Store.
Oh, holy crap.
Stopping in this morning. And they're all bringing a specialty sandwich. Are we voting on this
today? No. But you can. Anybody can vote if they go to that website. It's phillymag.com/RPD. But you know what? So Linden's is coming in. And I love the owner of Linden's because she's been at our Keenan's broadcast several times.
Okay.
In fact, she won the crowd surfing competition.
Oh, did she?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, she's got to be tiny then.
Tiny. She's a little
thing. We always have small ladies that we can pass around as they crowd
surf.
We're
no dummies.
So she will be in. All right. The whole gang. And in fact, they're bringing in the Linden Italian Club. Marinucci's is bringing in the Addie's Hot Chicken Hoagie. Forrest's is bringing the Smokestack. Sonny's Italian Deli has the Junkyard. And Anna's is bringing the Zep.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. This morning. I know. We're getting an overload. But you can vote for your
please
favorite.
Please bring tapeworms, too.
At phillymag.com/RPD. So that will be taking place. And we'll remind you of that throughout the course of the morning. We also have a Tuesday. So that means tattoos are going to be given out. And we have Gerard is our listener, is getting the tattoo. And the artist is going to be Troy from Philadelphia Eddie's. So that will be happening. I know we have some other things. You know what? Yeah, we are going to ask for your help. And I'm going to bring this up, I think, around the Bizarre File.
Yes.
It's a return of an event that we haven't seen in a long, 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 long time. I will get you the details with the B-File, so you want to stay with us. But we're going to need your help, and I think you'll be eager to help out on this particular thing that is coming up. So those things and more. Let's take a quick break. Come back in a second. We'll have a stupid question when we return and some entertainment stories to delight you on this Tuesday morning. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love diamond engagement ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Peace, love, dope. All right, so we're going to do a stupid question, and we're going to give away this morning Ready Player One book, audiobook, and a pair of Fandango Run of Engagement passes to see the film. So the question that I have for you is this. What U.S. president was once the nation's largest producer of whiskey?
Huh, which president?
215-263-WMMR. What U.S. president was once the nation's largest producer of whiskey? Huh. Let's see if you know the answer. Call right now, 215-263-WMMR. Today is Tuesday, April 10th, and we'll start with some musical birthdays. Today is the 48th birthday of Mike Mushuk, and he plays guitar for Staind. So not doing too much these days, I would imagine, because Aaron Lewis is just, he's being a good old boy.
Yeah, he is, and he's doing well.
And he's super content with it, and I'll bet you he probably never goes back.
I think you're right.
He's so entrenched in that world of country music right now, so these guys are just on the back burner.
What happens when
I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, and you're not like an axe master.
No.
You know?
Well, I mean, you know, when the focus of the group is gone off doing something else, you just kind of go... Yeah, that's it. So he's 48 years old today. A guy who I really admire and is, I think, a really underrated guitarist, Brian Setzer, celebrates his birthday today.
He's great. I would love to see the orchestra sometime, but I've never had the opportunity to.
Neither have I. And I always write down dates when they're in and around the area, Steve. They're going to be playing the Tropicana in Atlantic City on June 22nd.
Huh.
And I would love to go see them. He's a really cool guy. I've met him before, actually on a couple of occasions. He's a really good singer, and he is a great guitar player. He's fantastic. And he celebrates his 59th birthday today.
Is he from Long Island? I'm not sure.
You know what? Not really sure, Steve. Yeah. So happy birthday to Brian Setzer. Daisy Ridley. She's just lovely.
She's so awesome.
I love her. She is only 26 years old. She is obviously from the Star Wars Force Awakens and Star Wars The Last Jedi. And what is... she's going to do one more in the series,
one more.
Right?
That's what she says. Of course, money talks.
Yeah.
So, but we don't know how the story's going to go, you know?
Yeah, true. So happy 26th to Daisy Ridley. Haley Joel Osment has his birthday, and he is 30 years old today. Wow.
He has become a very funny comedic actor. He's been in a number of things, and he's made fun of his own, character in The Sixth Sense. But when you remember the first time you saw him in The Sixth Sense, you're like, where the hell? What is this, a dwarf?
Yeah.
He acted like an adult.
He's an old soul.
Yeah.
So three movies stand out for me. He was in Forrest Gump. He has a small role. He's Forrest. He's Little Forrest.
Yes, Tiny Forrest.
And then Sixth Sense. And then he was in Pay It Forward, which was a pretty good movie.
And
he was really good at John Bon Jovi was in it.
Yeah.
And Kevin Spacey and Helen Hunt. But he suffers from what can happen with child actors. He stopped growing.
Yeah.
He's a tiny guy. And then he started growing out. And he got a little pudgy. but what phenomenal actor. He's just great. And a really nice guy. He came by here one time and he was really, really cool. So 30th birthday today. He was also in AI, if you remember that movie, too. Mandy Moore. I love her.
She's on your favorite show, Kathy.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. And sometimes I can't believe that it's her. Like, she does a really good job.
Yeah.
Who knew?
And she's been a lot of great stuff. Tangled, she's Cinderella, or not Cinderella.
Rapunzel.
Rapunzel, thank you.
Rapunzarella.
Jesus, Rapunzarella.
Funzarella.
Yeah.
And she does sing a lot on that show.
Does she?
Yeah. Well, that yeah. She was an aspiring singer, yeah. And
but she gave up her career
for the family.
To the family, and they adopted this African American child, right?
Yes, so they have triplets.
And the dad's dead, died in a fire. But he's still alive in flashbacks.
Right, yeah. But that's what I like about, because everybody loves this guy, his character, so they can still flashback and he's still on the show.
Okay. Do you guys ever see A Walk to Remember?
I want to say yes, but it's a romantic movie, right? Who's in it with her?
It's a heartbreaker.
Shane West.
Her dad is Peter Coyote.
And Shane West is the romantic interest.
Yeah, and... you want me to give you a spoiler alert?
Yeah, please. She dies.
All right, she's got cancer.
She's got cancer?
She's a teenager.
All right.
And she wants to get married before she dies. And it's, oh my God, it's like it's a rip your heart out.
Yeah. Nick, movie. You were saying Shane West, like I'm supposed to know that name?
You know Shane West from League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
No. Yeah, he lasted for about 2 or 3 years. He was a heartthrob for a bit, and then he kind of went the way of the dodo.
He played Tom Sawyer in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Tom Sawyer? All right. So Mandy Moore is 34, Orlando Jones, 5-0 for him today.
And he and Katy Perry are back and going strong.
No, that's Orlando Bloom. Orlando Jones.
Oh, my God.
Jones.
I always do that.
Yeah, I know.
I always confuse him with Dennis Quaid.
No, you've had Orlando. Me and Russell and Kurt Russell and Russell Crowe and Orlando Jones and Orlando Bloom. He's a nice guy. We've had him by before. He's 50 years old today. Steven Seagal has his birthday.
He's facing some issues.
Steven Seagal, he whispers when he speaks.
I'm going to keto your face.
Yeah. I liked his first movie, Above the Law, and then maybe one or two more. And then after that, I'm like, okay, stop it already.
4 3-word title movies.
Yeah.
They were fun. The one thing, though, he runs... So, like, Barry on the Goldbergs has a particular run where his arms are behind him. Seagal runs like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. His arms are down at the side.
Mm-hmm.
But
the first time you saw him use a keto in Above the Law, you're like, what was that?
I was watching,
hyperextending elbows
right,
and everything.
Right, right. Joe Rogan assessing his ability, and they had a couple other martial artists. And he says, in Aikido... he's the real deal. He's really got it. They were talking about the practicality, though, of Aikido overall.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, it doesn't. I guess in certain situations it can work, and then you have Brazilian.
For noogies, it's great.
For noogies.
Purple nurples and such.
No, he could obviously kick our asses. It's just, how practical is it?
All right, he's 66 today. A couple more quick ones. Max von Sydow, legendary actor. The Exorcist, yes. Definitely.
When he played that priest, when he played Karras, he was a younger man.
Flash Gordon, remember? He played Ming the Merciless.
Yeah.
Star Wars The Force Awakens, he was in that as well.
Yeah.
He's 89 today. And then the last birthday, we got to move along. John Madden celebrates his birthday today. Boom, he's 82 years old today.
Turkey juice.
So happy birthday to him. That's right. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What U.S. president was once the nation's largest producer of whiskey?
Whiskey.
215-263-WMMR. Let's go to Jerry. Hey, Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Jerry, what U.S. president do we speak of?
George Washington.
The founding father.
Wow. Biggest producer of whiskey.
Yeah, George Washington. He reportedly made 11,000 gallons of whiskey in 1799.
Did you know he was 7'2"?
No, he wasn't.
He was not.
No, he was very tall.
I just made that up because I wanted to sound smart.
All right, so Jerry, hang on. We're going to get your information. We're going to give you a Ready Player One book, Ready Player One audiobook, and a pair of Fandango run of engagement passes to see Ready Player One. It is in theaters now. All right, Paris and Nicole Richie were photographed together.
Oh, my God!
At a fashion event in Los Angeles over the weekend, and fans have been going bonkers ever since.
Have they?
The simple, fans of that show.
Three or four people.
The Simple Life stars made their names as aspirational BFFs running around a farm and creating mayhem on the reality show and then Hollywood and beyond in the early 2000s. They just as famously fell out reportedly, and I'd forgotten about this,
over Richie showing Hilton's famous sex tape at a party celebrating
That's
her 2005 right. Saturday Night Live hosting gig.
That's right.
Is that what caused the big rift?
Yeah, but in recent years, the rift appears to have been healed somewhat.
Well, she's engaged, and Nicole Richie's married with kids.
While this was the first time they've been photographed together, they have stopped slamming each other in the press. In March, Hilton admitted that she'd consider doing the show again, telling Entertainment Tonight, "It was so much fun. It was such a hilarious show. I still watch it."
No, it wasn't.
It's fun.
It was not.
It's fun that everyone's enjoying it, and it'd be amazing for it to come back. So we shall see. You never know. There's a lot of revivals going on, so something like that could happen. Oscar winner Jeffrey Rush's lawyers told an Australian court Monday that the star is virtually housebound and that his career has been irreparably damaged. And following the public publication of sexual misconduct allegations against him.
So who's coming after him for sexual misconduct?
Well, in an affidavit, lawyer Nicholas Pullen said that the 66-year-old has suffered tremendous emotional and social hardship and has his lost his appetite, barely eats, waking up every morning with terrible sense of dread about his future career. He is suing Sydney's Daily Telegraph and reporter Jonathan Moran for defamation. The paper printed articles by Moran claiming that he was suspected of misconduct against a fellow performer named Erin Jean Norville during a Sydney Theatre Company production of King Lear in 2015. Rush denies the allegations, claims the article portrayed him as a predator. The details surrounding the alleged behavior have been scant. So it's not like there's a case against him or anything?
No, there's just it seems sort of like hearsay.
Yeah. News Corp denies the articles made him out to be a predator and claims no allegations of sexual mature, it says, were made.
No allegations of sexual mature.
Okay. Lawyers for the paper and Moran have applied to bring a cross claim against the theater company, which would make it a co-defendant. The cross claim is set to be heard Friday. The trial will likely move forward in December. It says the trial. Oh, so he's going against them.
All right. So is this a guy or a girl? I didn't quite.
It says.
I'm not familiar with the name.
Erin, E-R-Y-N.
All right.
Jean Norville. So I do not know, Steve. The son of Tommy Lee won't face charges for allegedly assaulting his father, according to TMZ. Although Lee was reportedly pressing charges against his 21-year-old son, Brandon, for punching the elderly in the face during a drunken brawl, the L.A. District Attorney has dismissed the criminal case against Brandon because Tommy decided not to cooperate with authorities. Brandon allegedly hit his father during an altercation on the night of March 5th. While Brandon claimed to be defending himself against his drunken father, Tommy disputed that, tweeting, "My fiance and I were in bed and my son busted into the room and assaulted me. I asked him to leave the house and he knocked me unconscious. He ran away from police and that's the truth."
Yeah, he apparently sucker punched him.
Yeah. Brandon's mother, Pamela, had shared a lengthy statement in which she called her ex-husband a disaster spinning out of control. So,
and there's still love there, you can tell.
But it's
between the words.
There's going to be no charges against the son. So
that's maybe, messed up.
Maybe they're making good. I don't
they're
know.
Saying that that he needs an intervention.
Yes, they are saying that. M. Night Shyamalan will address the class of 2018 at Drexel University's university-wide commencement ceremony on June 15th at Citizens Bank Park.
That's awesome.
So he's going to speak to the student body and wish them well. He is the official commencement speaker.
They do it at the ballpark, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
He's a great speaker, too. He's got a good sense of humor. He's energetic. He has a good message to put out there. I emceed a little event for him for the M. Night Shyamalan Foundation. And he was talking to the group there. He's a natural.
The president of Drexel, John Fry, said, "For our graduates, I'm sure that M. Night Shyamalan's insights into his stunning success as a filmmaker will serve as the equivalent of a fascinating final seminar offering inspiration for their own academic, professional, and personal journeys."
Journeys.
That is going to happen.
Your journeys.
Forget the blenders and toasters. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle want well-wishers to make a charitable donation in their name in lieu of wedding gifts.
Oh, man, I bought them sweetheart champagne glasses.
Prince Harry and Miss Meghan Markle are incredibly grateful for the goodwill shown to them since the announcement of their engagement and are keen that as many people as possible benefit from the generosity of spirit, Kensington Palace stated via a press release.
Yeah, I have a question about, like, when you're attending a wedding for somebody who is rich.
Right?
Yeah, somebody
what do
who
you get them?
Do you get them anything?
Yeah, iTunes gift cards.
No, you have to. You still have to bring something. But, yeah, like, what? And what's the appropriate needed amount because...
Well, or are they so rich that they put it in the invitation? Because I've never been invited to a
no gifts
really
necessary,
or filthy they, rich, tons of money type of person.
Sometimes they will have you donate to a cause. Okay. And sometimes you just, you know, you bring something.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, like the whole Chia collection's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Okay. I knew a guy who, he was invited to a wedding where, I mean, they basically, the guy was so rich that he put everybody on a plane and flew them to some island somewhere.
Well, then your toast is really not going to matter a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Look, six slices.
The local guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they flew down to Florida. They went and they basically put the entire wedding party on a plane, flew them down there, if it's the same people we're thinking of, Case. Well, and so there was nothing, like, they didn't even have to pay to go to the wedding.
Yeah, that's, and if you're flying groups of people, you're probably pretty close friends with them, so you give them something personal, more than likely. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like one of those oversized cigarette lighters, right?
Yeah, really.
But even still, like, all right, yeah, I guess then it's going to just be a really, really thoughtful.
I don't even smoke. I don't.
Yeah.
Like a pillowcase with your face on it.
Hey, I got everyone. It's like Letterman used to do. Yeah. Got everyone cartons of cigarettes.
Well, you remember Meghan Markle, to use an example, the royal family. For the queen, she got her a little stuffed animal.
And she loved it.
A little stuffed dog that spoke or something like that. And she thought it was hilarious. She loved it. So.
Yeah, the queen.
Yeah, so you need to do personal things or cute things. So they had said in the press release, the couple have therefore asked that anyone who might wish to mark the occasion considers making a donation to charity rather than sending a wedding gift. And they chose seven organizations that they would like to help. CHIVA, which is Children's HIV Association, Crisis, the Maila Foundation.
That's a disease, I assume, correct?
I do not know. It seems like a name, M-Y-N-A. Mahila Foundation, Scotty's Little Soldiers, Street Games, Surfers Against Sewage, and the Wilderness Foundation.
Well, UK. I'm donating to Surfers Against Sewage.
Okay.
That just is very intriguing.
Yeah.
You get so pitted, man.
So pitted.
That's right. Just drop down.
Whoop-ah. Whoop-ah.
Director James Toback has been cleared by the L.A. County District Attorney in five cases involving sexual misconduct.
This is interesting because after the Weinstein thing broke, his name came up and he had a whole bunch of people accusing him.
Yeah, he's been accused of harassment and assault by dozens of women.
So the first five out of the gate have been dismissed.
Due to they were outside of the statute of limitations. Legally you can't
know that. Yeah.
So, but there are plenty of other people that might dive in.
Yeah, I'm judging a book by its cover. This dude looks like a scuzz bucket.
He does.
He looks like a complete scumbag.
Mm-hmm. After filing for divorce from David Charvet, after 6 years of marriage, TV host and Dancing with the Stars season 7 champ, Brooke Burke opened up about their split on the blog Modern Mom.
Can I guess what the reason was for the split?
Yeah, I haven't read it, so
just
I can't answer.
Too stupid. He was stultifyingly stupid.
Was he?
Yeah. He couldn't rise to the challenge of a convincing performance on Baywatch. Stupid.
I don't even remember this guy.
It's got to bring a wife down. She's got to tie her husband's shoelaces in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, she's got to hire a babysitter for him.
Yeah. Can someone pick up my husband?
She said, I have struggled with trying to find worthy words to speak to this life change my family is going through. But
he's so stupid.
But I do want to share my personal thoughts. She said, you may have heard that David and I are divorcing. We have tried to keep our separation private for some time out of respect for our children and family. Although I believe this is a positive change, I am deeply saddened because I loved being married. That's all that I have.
I just love the marriage, not the husband.
The pair share two children, Shea, who is 10, and Heaven, who is 11. She also shares...
didn't rip the lid off that, did she?
She also shares two children, Neria and Syria.
Syria and Neria?
Sierra.
Neria and Syria. Yeah.
But Neria, N-E-R-I-A-H. Well, listen, this is Heaven, 11, so
I think it's
on.
Neria, maybe.
Neuriah.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Psoriasis.
And psoriasis and eczema.
Yeah. Oh,
diarrhea and psoriasis.
This is leprosy and conjunctivitis.
It's our son Priapism.
She was married to and her sister Ben Penis.
Yeah.
Was married to like the number one plastic surgeon in Hollywood for a couple of years. So that's where.
And then she got her work done and then she moved on.
Alopecia and
moved on to somebody
squirts.
When you said this initially, that she was getting divorced yesterday, I was thinking Brooke Burns. I always got those two by the name
mixed
up because, man, she was on that show. Was it Dog Eat Dog?
Oh, my God.
What a stunner. And her and Bruce Willis were a couple
for a while. Yeah. And she's a tall drink of water.
Yes, she is.
Brooke Burke does commercials for mild incontinence.
And she used to do Skechers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She does mild incontinence.
Was she like, I'm a workaday woman and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes I piss myself. No. Sort of like little leak. A lot of people suffer from it. Like if
after having babies and stuff like that.
A little leak.
Occasionally, if you laugh hard or you go to pick up a car, you'll pee a little bit.
Boys' incontinence pads.
There you go.
I knew women who would pee when they laughed every single time. Oops, I felt bad for them.
Yeah. Oops, pooped a little.
Oh, I have a friend.
Stop making me laugh. You're making me crap myself.
I have a friend who peed all over our other friend's chair because she was laughing so hard and she just couldn't control it.
You know?
It is one of those things.
Yeah, you pop a few babies out of there and it's tough.
When I had the prostatectomy, I was wearing
diapers.
By the way. The adult diapers are the best underwear you could possibly wear. They're super comfortable.
Wait, you wore the diapers?
For like a week.
Oh, I had to, after my vasectomy.
You had to wear them too?
In fact, I have a picture of me here with it on somewhere. Not like full-on diapers. Like, no.
Who
I'm gonna be
changed
crapping
your diapers?
Myself.
My mommy.
But that was more for the front. Steve, you had the... You got the butt and everything, right? Everything covered, right?
What they do is they're awesome, Kathy. You would love them.
I can't believe we're talking about
this. They have this huge, like, 3.5-foot safety pin.
I would love
them. And then I go around with this huge pacifier.
No.
think of, like, regular briefs that are a little bit thicker. But they're great. But
we wore them in college for fun, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it would be a drunken night in the fraternity house.
Hey, Marissa has adult diapers.
No, that's a diaper.
No, that's a real diaper.
Oh, that's a real diaper.
Yeah. That was my break in, my big break into radio as I wore diapers to live broadcast.
Right, it's adult. Comfy.
No, yeah. that's not what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's like a pull-up if you have trouble going when you go to bed, Preston.
Yeah, for adults. Yeah, exactly.
No, I didn't wear that.
You didn't wear this?
No.
Okay.
It's like a regular, like a brief. That's just a little thicker. You look like a Roman soldier.
Thank you. I put the diaper on my head. I used to do this for fun when we had kids. I'd put a diaper on my head, and I wish it stood straight up. How cool would that be?
Like, what's your back scratcher in there?
Your chef is here.
You might be able to have it stick up.
I would try this out. Bryce is taking pictures, so you'll be able to enjoy it at home.
Hang on.
Wait, hang
All
on.
All right, come on, jam it in there.
I almost got it. Hang on.
There you go. You got
Oh,
it.
Man.
No?
You this? Oh. You look like Johnny Bravo. Albino Johnny Bravo. I got a diaper on my head, man.
All right. Hang on. Sorry.
Casey.
Casey's got the red.
Casey's got it. It's up.
Casey's done this before.
Yeah. It's not my first diaper and rare to have thing.
That looks great.
Hi, everybody.
He's slow.
I'm waving to the camera.
What's in the front?
What's in the front? You mean what's in the front?
Well, there's a little like.
Take me a super save tomorrow because I have a sale.
It's business in the front, and the party's in the
diaper
back.
Diaper in the right. back.
Okay.
Business in the front,
what
diaper
are you
in the back.
About?
There's the little rectangle area right above the forehead.
That's your absorbent part.
Yeah, it's the absorbent.
So Nick,
free of pee and poop.
What I was wearing was.
I've never seen a diaper on a man's head like this before.
Okay. What I was wearing was like a brief that was just a little bit thicker than regular underwear. Okay. Not this behemoth.
Hmm. All right. Well, anyhow.
Brooke pees her pants.
What's that?
That's how we started talking about.
No, yeah. So Brooke Park pees her pants. Yeah. So anyhow, she said that they are all committed to moving forward as a loving family.
I don't care.
All right. Do I have time for one more?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Man.
All right.
Hollywood doesn't stop just because we do.
How about this one? A branch of the so-called cult Nexium, which reportedly brands female recruits with their founder's initials. We talked about this before. The girl from Smallville, Allison Mack, was a part of it.
Actually, both girls from Smallville were a part of it.
Well, they have turned to the Brooklyn art crowd for new blood. Page Six reports the founder, Keith Rainier, was arrested in Mexico last month on sex trafficking charges, and his partner, Allison Mack, is reportedly next on the list for arrest. She was with Rainier when cops arrested him. Sources tell Page Six that the party screened a video showing Rainier and Mack discussing Nexium, and partygoers were pitched a $10,000 curriculum aimed at life improvement.
Did you watch that video I sent to you of her, Allison Mack, talking to this founder?
Yep.
And he's just, Kath, he's just spewing complete nonsense.
Oh, it's just garbage.
And she's sitting there going, oh, yes.
You have the, you have the energy. Oh, you know, and he tries to explain. It's all non-scientific and just, you know, we possess.
Doublespeak.
We possess this energy on the plane of existence and blah, 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 blah. And people pay money and buy it.
By the way, in that article, I don't know if you read the accompanying article, they say that she was the one that came up with the idea of the branding. Of the branding the girls so that they would be identified as part of the cult.
Wow.
They could have just put a diaper on their head.
Yeah, yeah.
Made that part of the whole ritual.
Would stand out.
Nobody would have gotten hurt. All right, let's do clips. You guys ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Fox's Lethal Weapon TV spinoff is wrapping up its second season. In this clip, Clayne Crawford, who plays Detective Murtaugh, recalls meeting his co-star Damon Wayans for the first time. Here it is.
We met each other for breakfast, literally a week before we started shooting. It was instantaneous. And I don't know if we knew that it was going to be this great chemistry, but we knew that we could work together. I knew how funny he was, but once we got on set and we were in the scenes, it just started working.
Wasn't Bill Paxton on that show?
No, Bill Paxton had his own show that had just started, and then he passed away.
Yeah, I thought it was just a couple episodes. No. All right, anyhow, a new episode of Lethal Weapon airs tonight, 8 p.m. on Fox. Let's do
Preston Training Day was his
show. Training Day. I knew it was a cop duo thing. Yeah. All right, next clip. Here we go. Tonight's new episode in The Flash.
Oh.
Young boy runs into a wall and knocks his two teeth out. It will feature cameos from Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith, who directed the episode.
Love it.
Recently, the series saw The Flash lose his powers altogether this season. But here, Grant Gustin talks about season four's changing tone.
Season four is going to be back to our roots. It's going to be more a comedy-based season. We're going to have more fun this season. There won't be death, which I think kind of created a dark tone for our show. It'll be back to having fun and saving people.
Yeah!
The episode premieres tonight, 8 o'clock on CW. You watch all of that?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm back three episodes.
Okay.
Right. I love it. The Flash maintains its wonderfulness.
So yeah, did I in the background.
What?
Watched every episode.
Oh, yeah? I've only watched the first season. My daughter loves that
Once
show.
They started getting into the Speed Force and time travel, I was like, oh, man.
Oh, there's a part where they're totally in the multiverse world, and unless you are paying close attention, you're going to be lost.
I'm like, she's got powers now?
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's what I have for you entertainment-wise. We got to take a break. We have a lot going on. Mark Summers is coming by. Travis Konecny is going to be joining us as the Flyers get ready to pop into the playoffs. And a big, huge meet-and-eat with Dietzen Watson and the Real Philly Deli face-off. I'll get you the details on that. And $1,000 giveaway. 8 o'clock, we'll have your chance with MMR's birthday bucks. We'll be right back.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
This is special.
All right, thank you, Kathy. By the way, Tattoos Day today, I just walked by. I didn't get a chance to say hi because I had to go pee. But I saw Gerard, who is getting a tattoo from, and today our artist is Kyle Fitzpatrick. He's from Philadelphia Eddie's, and it's one of Casey's favorite tattoo artists.
Is that right?
He's the guy that does the really clean lines that you like, right?
Yeah. Cool. And actually, so it's not going to be, he's doing a Black Panther on Gerard, but you'll see.
Okay.
So good.
Nice. All right. So we'll check with them a little bit later on. We also have this Real Philly Deli face-off that's taking place.
Yes.
So the gang is going to be stopping by this morning. And by the gang, I mean the folks from Lennon Italian Specialties, from Marinucci's Deli, from Forrester's and Sonny's Italian Deli and Anna's Corner Store. And you can vote for your favorite at phillymag.com/RPD.
I'm looking at the voting page on the website you just gave out, Preston. It's ridiculous.
My mouth is watering looking at the page.
Yeah, and I don't know how you choose one.
Yeah.
Well, so far, I'm calling them seasons, but this season of these Real Philly Deli tours have just been magnificent. I mean, we've really, I say we, they have really, really stepped up their game.
Nice. I love it. And I love all the people that we're meeting. And, you know, they're neighborhood places. And they all have great vibes.
So you can check out the links and stuff. You just go to phillymag.com/RPD. in a little bit, when we get to the B-File, we're going to ask your help for something. So I want to make sure that you're aware of that. So make sure you stay with us through that. I saw this yesterday. Didn't get a chance to talk about it. But a guy named Chuck McCann passed away, and while you may not know that name, you might very well know the voice. He was the guy that voiced I'm Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
So I wanted to ask you, when the story broke yesterday, Preston, were you familiar with him from stand-up comedy and from comedy performances? Because in New York, he had a show,
a kid's show
that I loved.
I did not, Steve. And I saw his pictures, and I know that he was on the Captain Kangaroo show, which I watched when I was a kid, but I didn't recognize him by his face alone. But I clearly know this.
Yahoo! I'm Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs! Boy, did I get the message.
So that was him, and he had passed away.
That was our first experience with what opioid addiction looked like. It's just, I have a problem.
Did that bird have a name, by the way?
It did, but it's actually a good trivia question, because I do know he has a name.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
What is it?
Sonny.
Sonny?
Yeah.
I'm cooking that. Cuckoo for coked up sluts.
That was a joke.
That was the joke.
Cuckoo for coked up sluts.
Yeah. What was the Salma Hayek at 30 Rock? She was like, I'm Cuckoo for Cuckoo Bucks. Do you remember
don't
that?
Remember that? No,
oh, dude,
but I like it.
Funny, yeah.
What was she just? You messed it up.
Yeah,
she did. He did tons of voiceover work. He's in one of my favorite lesser-known movies of all time, based on the Carson McCullough, The Heart Is a Lonely Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays this. He's a slow, deaf, mute who works with whose best friend is Alan Arkin, who's mute as well and deaf.
Steve, what was Cool McCool? I just pulled that up on his list of credits.
I think that's a cartoon, Nick, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was, but it was from Bob Kane, apparently. And he did that. Chuck McCann did that from 1966 to 1969.
So he had his own, like show, his own, like, playhouse.
Okay. But now I want to know, like, who was the voice of the Silly Rabbit from, Trix? Who was the voice of Captain Crunch?
Because
all those had
Tony the Tiger.
They had TV commercials.
Who was I saw the dude who was Tony the Tiger. He did a whole bunch of them. Yeah. And you know what? For the time, they made some pretty heavy cash because, you know, every time those things played, they get money for them.
Yeah, so they'd get residuals, I guess, right? And then you had, Booberry and Frankenberry.
The voice of Kool-Aid, the pitcher. Kool-Aid's here, bringing you fun. Sorry about the wall.
Sugar Smacks, right?
That's right. The bear. He's got a dog like this.
And then
it was almost like a Dean Martin type of
thing. It was fashioned after the can't get enough sips of sugar, Chris.
Really?
It's fashioned after Dean Martin. Mm-hmm. So you have a good ear for that.
Do that again, please.
Can't get enough sips of sugar, Chris.
That's not bad. Hang on a second here. The Trix Rabbit was voiced by Mort Marshall,
who later murdered his wife with a ball peen hammer.
Where are you reading
that?
No,
I'm just kidding.
And later, Brett Iwan,
an anthropomorphic cartoon rabbit, so with human features.
Oh, is that what anthropomorphic means?
Sure thing.
Okay.
With human features, who continually killed his mates with the bullpen.
Oh, okay.
It was a thing he had. What was the biggest? Well, talking about stuff like that, Preston, learning that the kid who's the voice, the guy now, who's the voice of Charlie Brown as a kid in the Charlie Brown Christmas special, is a stalker.
Yeah.
That's right. I
remember he was in court last year for stalking his ex-girlfriend or wife.
Wait a minute, Nick. Go back to the first picture that you had pulled up because not that one.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, I know, but there's some characters. Yeah, so here's another one that you've heard for years and years and years would be the leprechaun from Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms.
That had to have been, at least for a stretch, one actor that did that voice,
That's why, like, when Gilbert Gottfried had the Affleck duck.
Oh.
It's such a mint gig to have.
Yeah, but you know what? Back then, I was so into that stuff that, like, when they changed the colors of all the marshmallows, I was like, dude, hearts aren't supposed to be purple. They're supposed to be, that actually meant something.
It's a generational thing, too. Like, people that are 10 years younger than us think of those shapes differently than you and I do, Casey.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of get offended at our version of what Lucky Charms is.
You're a bunch of punks.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
They have cycled through those.
I know.
Through the years, and they retire them from time to time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And,
it's a big deal.
And they added rainbows. You're like, rainbows?
New Toasted Oats here at Marshmallow Bits and Lucky Shapes.
Arthur Anderson was the voice of Lucky, and that was the name of the character. I didn't know that.
Do you remember when Pepsi, that one summer, they did, it was Pepsi, right, who did the the different cans like all summer long. I think it was Olympic cans. And like that Yeah.
And? But they didn't have a there was no Pepsi character.
No. Right? I'm just saying, like, that sort of stuff, that branding for me as a child was, you know.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Dude, the day Cookie Crisp arrived was, it's cookies for breakfast. This is, alert the media. Does everyone know?
You don't. See, in my house, where my dementia-ridden grandfather was feeding us pudding for breakfast, it was old hat.
Oh, no, but no, when that arrived, it was like, Casey, like the phone chain, the phone tree started. You'd have to call everybody, and it was a big deal.
Are you sitting down? They have cookies for breakfast.
No, it's like,
and they were made like they were little chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah. It's like in Stand By Me when they're around the fire and they're talking about things that are important as kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you eat for the rest of your life? Cherry flavored Pez.
Pez. Cherry flavored Pez. Yeah, no question about it.
Those things are important. No, but this guy, Steve, so you remember his kid show in New York?
I remember his kid show. He was super popular. I was wondering if it was syndicated out to other markets. And then he's in again, as I say, one of my favorite. You talk about crying your eyes out. The Heart Is a Lonely Hunter. You got to see it.
Rudy Kazuti. You ever hear of that?
I did hear of it. I forget exactly whether it was. Maybe it slightly predates me, so that would put it in the early 1800s.
Okay. Yeah. So, no, he did children's television programs such as Lunch with Soupy Sales. We mentioned the Captain Kangaroo Show and Rudy Kazuti.
I'm Rudy Kazuti.
All right, here we go. Here's I just got handed this information. This just in. Breaking news.
He's not dead.
No.
Breaking news. Breaking Chuck McCann news. Has faked his own death as part of a large insurance scam. He was found living in the Caymans. He says he regrets everything he did for children because he hates them.
Wow. That's breaking news.
I mean, wouldn't that be?
Yeah.
You know, the guy's entire life was a lie.
His words, specifically, Rudy Kazuti, your ass.
You can suck my Rudy Kazuti.
Suck my Rudy with your Kazuti.
No, we found some other names. So the guy who was the voice of Boris in Rocky and Bullwinkle, his name is Paul Frees, but he also...
Paul Frees, the legendary Paul Frees.
Yeah?
Yes. You know who's going to know a lot of this? Mark Summers.
Well, listen, he was also the voice of Toucan Sam.
Yes.
From Fruit Loops and Booberry.
Did not know that.
And the Pillsbury Doughboy.
So in a larger sense, he is the Mel Blanc of...
Of a commercial advertiser.
Yeah.
I just got a game. My son got a game for Easter called iTrivia.
That's the way I say it, Nick, by the way. I say I got a game. My son got a game.
I played the game with my son. And basically it's, Preston, I'm going to bring it in because it would be good for some stupid questions.
All right.
It has some really great trivia. But it's basically there's an image of something on the front and you have to identify what that is. And then on the back they ask questions about what that image is.
Oh.
So it's a picture of Michael Jordan and then it has three questions about Michael Jordan on the back.
Okay.
The Pillsbury Doughboy, what they do brands, they do famous people, they do people in places, that kind of a thing. The Pillsbury Doughboy was one. My son had no idea who that person is. And I think
he's still in commercials, though.
Yeah. I know. And I think that the way that kids consume content.
That's not the sound.
By the way, it's. Woohoo! I think it's
way down. Ah, that hurts! Your finger!
No, it's two he's.
Yeah. Okay. Not hoo-hoo.
Oh, yeah, right there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, a little lower.
Oh, two knuckles deep.
Where's that? Find the Pillsbury.
I probably have it.
By the way, on a side note here, Nick had mentioned trivia games. I have five trivia games at home. My wife doesn't like trivia.
Oh, wow, really? No.
I've never once opened my trivia games. I have Trivial Pursuit, you know, classic rock. I have Trivial Pursuit.
Were you going down on?
What's the wrong one? And my finger hit the wrong button.
I have like Trivial Pursuit 80s. I have all these games.
Well, then come over to my house, man.
I need to because I have no one to play them with.
I love trivia.
In
fact,
me?
Next Saturday, not this Saturday, I'm hosting trivia night at my church.
I need to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Woo-hoo!
There you go.
I'm sorry.
That's it.
Woo-hoo.
That sounded like a hee-hee to me.
Excuse me. What? Hang on. Play it again.
Woo-hoo!
That sounds like hoo-hoo to me.
That's the Pillsbury Doughboy.
That sounds like a hee-hee.
No, that's hoo-hoo.
That's hoo-hoo, dude.
What?
Listen.
Woo-hoo! That's hoo-hoo.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's slow this down a little bit. Hang on a second.
Redeemed in a...
That sounds like
Great Paul.
Thank you.
That's hoo-hoo.
That sounds like hoo-hoo.
We need to take a vote here.
I'm done voting.
I'm done voting.
It has been decided conclusively.
Rest
and wins. Hoo-hoo. Right. We move on.
I don't like being wrong, guys. You know
Do
that.
You remember the commercial? What was the tiger? It never made a sound, but it was the animation for the tire company where the tiger would be gripping the road.
Mm.
Do you remember those tires?
I can't remember which brand it was.
But it was like a pencil, like a sketch and animation that was awesome.
Well, the voice of Tony the Tiger, by the way, was Thurl Ravenscroft. Whoa!
My name is Thurl Ravenscroft. I just landed a role as the cartoon tiger. If you need me, I'll be in the conservatory attempting to OD on Tylenol.
He sounds like he skipped over from Hogwarts.
What do you want me to say? The great?
Thurl?
No, more like a tiger. And the tiger does not talk. You imbecile.
I'm Thurl Ravenscroft.
I'm Thurl Raven. I starred in the summer stock version of the Tiger Story. Guess that's why I got this.
All right, couple of other names. Huckleberry Hound.
Huckleberry Hound.
He just cupped. You just cupped.
Okay. Captain Crunch and the voice of Quisk.
Still mad about the whole ho-ho.
I am not mad trying. About ho-ho.
Captain Crunch and the voice of Quisk the
I'm
alien.
I'm going to get him with a cup.
I'm sorry, but Preston cupped.
I got it now. Here's my door. It's open. I'm gonna cup him now because he called me on the hoo-hoo-hee-hee.
I stopped saying the word cup, and I said couple. And
so did, but so did Nick.
Yeah, a couple.
I didn't go, yeah, I'll clone.
Let's not relitigate this.
That's mine.
Are we not? Can we let him have that? Yeah.
Sorry.
We learning nothing from the Cosby retry?
Trademark Nick McElwain. Yeah, cup. By the way,
I'm going to take my shirt off and say, all cops matter.
Thank you. Thurl Ravenscroft also sang You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, in the original version of the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Someone had texted in earlier.
What is it you want me to sing?
I'm sorry. Let me go to, actually, it was Tom, and he's been on hold for a while. So, Tom, I'm sorry. Nick stole your thunder, but that you can concur that?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna let him know, or let you guys know, that Thurl Ravenscroft was the voice of
the song.
The song, yeah.
For Mister, You're a Mean One, Mister Grinch.
So yes, obviously that would be the same sort of rumble you hear as Tony the Tiger.
I guess so. You're right, because
but Tony the Tiger didn't sing the jingle, did he?
No, no. But he had a very sing song. He had a very sing-songy delivery.
They're great.
So he had a real sing-songy delivery.
You're
Thank
a
you.
Mean one.
He had a very
baritone,
yeah.
Mr. Grinch, you really are a heel.
That could have been.
Do you know the lyrics?
Tiger. Yes, you could. Have.
No,
I don't remember them all.
You're as cuddly. Come on.
As a cup. Yeah, a cup.
Okay, move on.
All right, a couple of other things.
Even Kathy can't take it.
Let's see. It says here, there was a guy named Larry Kenny, it says, who also voiced Sonny Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And that's why we got started, because the voice of that character, Chuck McCann, passed away. But he also did Count Chocula.
Count Chocula.
There's a whole world of work.
Did Frankenberry ever speak or make a sound?
Frankenberry did speak, yes. And in fact, a fellow Thundercats cast member, Bob McFadden, was the voice of Snarf.
Snarf!
And also, he played Frankenberry.
Oh, no way.
It's one of our favorite clips.
Until McFadden's death in 2000.
They should make a documentary on all these people. I mean, this is fascinating. Like,
they really should.
This work that they've had for so long, or had back in the 70s and 80s, is impressive.
He's best known for the sound Snarf. The 82-year-old was found dead in an alleyway.
Snarf, snarf.
His hand on a hobo's unit.
No, I mean, it's a part of Americana. It's a part of pop culture.
He went to the School of Dramatic Arts, finished off his career saying one word, snarf.
Yeah. There's also a guy named Larry Kenny.
Larry Kenny is a very familiar name to me.
He was in Thundercats, but he also...
He did a lot of Hanna-Barbera stuff then, right?
Wait a minute, did I just mention him? Yeah.
Yeah.
I already talked about him, but he was in Thundercats.
That's why it sounded so pretty.
No, I didn't mean it that way, but he just mentioned it. I think he did a lot of the Hanna-Barbera stuff as well. And Nick, if you could check Larry Kenny.
He was in radio for a long time. He's a voice actor. He did Silverhawks. He worked on Imus.
Count Chocula.
Dude, I love Steve Simon's
That's the word snarf. Charles McCord with a Y.
Dear God.
This guy is famous. Larry Kenny, the guy who said snarf.
Well, Larry Kenny's still alive, so let's try and get him on the show. He didn't do anything with Hanna-Barbera, though.
Okay.
He didn't, so I was completely wrong on that. No, I'm going to go to the bathroom now.
You nailed the Imus impression, okay. So it's all worth
that's all we got that. By the way, there was a guy named Arnold Stang.
Yes, Arnold Stang was...
That's a great name.
So Arnold Stang was always the little Weasley guy with glass. He was the... Did you ever see It's a Mad, 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 Mad
yeah.
World? You know, he's one of the gas station attendants that Jonathan Winters, when he tears up the gas station,
okay.
Arnold Stang is one of the guys.
Well, he voiced, and what I didn't know this is he was Buzz Bee, the little guy who hawked Honey Nut Cheerios.
He talked like this, yeah. Like this kind
of
guy.
For General Mills. But he was also the voice of, Steve, you remember the show, the cartoon Top Cat?
Top Cat.
I do. He was Top Cat.
Leader, yeah, and he, yeah.
That was a fun show.
I love Top Cat.
Yeah. He was the voice of him. I did not know that.
Who was the cat? It was Felix who had the magical bag of tricks, right?
Yeah, that was a wild show. And it says, these days, Billy West, who is on Futurama, Doug, and a bunch of shows, is the voice of Buzz, the bee for Honey Nut Cheerios.
Billy West is incredible.
Yeah?
His talent and his voice range. Unbelievable.
And then we already covered Arthur Anderson, who is the leprechaun, Lucky. For Lucky Charms.
So
these guys all had, acting careers as well.
And think about what they've meant to our lives overall, pop culture-wise. I think right now, who would be in that class? Who's in that caliber of, there's not a lot of commercials with characters like that. Because what would happen was you would have, like, Saturday morning cartoons, and you'd have all these different things mm-hmm. that were, you know, they were more limited. So the cartoons yeah. had characters to keep the kids
yes.
watching.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The and the commercials.
Yeah,
had,
yeah.
Had
I mean the commercials. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, Steve, Top Cat, which was a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Guess what the major sponsor was? Kellogg's.
There you go.
You know, yeah. So you'd watch that Saturday morning, and then you'd be inundated with commercials featuring those cereals.
Yeah, Steve, I'm trying to think of who.
In the, cause
of,
you,
of what characters, advertising characters, if there really are any.
The Affleck Duck is one. I mean,
okay, yeah, yeah,
Geico's
yeah, yeah.
got a bunch.
Yeah,
that's a good point, yeah.
In fact, hang on a second, let me go to Michael, because he knew that guy. Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, what's up, buddy?
So, the Gecko Geico was a guy I used to work with. I think there was two of them. The main guy for the TV stuff was, he was actually in Britain. That's where they recorded. This guy did all the radio spots, and he was here in the States. He was, believe it or not, he was a medevac pilot for Penn-Star. I think he owns Dutch Country Helicopters now.
What? So the Geico Gecko, you say, was actually Australian?
Or I'm sorry, British?
English.
Okay.
British-English.
British, okay. He was British, but he was from England.
Right.
Exactly. But, yeah, so he said he would do the radio spots, and he would record them in his basement or in his he had like a soundproof room or something in his house, and that's what he was doing. I was like, yeah, dude, you made a lot of money on that, didn't you? He's like, yeah, not so much.
Wow.
No.
They had a brief period, and it was a failure. It was the Geico Greco, and it was Richard Geico.
Richard Greco.
Yeah, and it made no sense.
But wait a minute. Was he imitating the Geico Gecko with the, you know, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking. You know,
he wasn't imitating anything. That was his voice.
That was his voice, so he really exerted no effort whatsoever.
Believe me, we hear him on the radio talking to other pilots and stuff. We're like, Jesus Christ, we got the Gecko out there.
And he's in this area?
But I'm not sure if he still is. I haven't seen him in a couple years. His name is Darren, and the last gig I heard he had was Dutch Country Helicopters in Lancaster County.
All right.
That's interesting. You would think a voice career like that, or I mean, an account like that,
would continue to
make tons of money.
Sure. Why would you give that up? And if you have that in your resume, why wouldn't you parlay that into other gigs?
Yeah. I never heard numbers, but he just said it's not what you think it was.
Okay. All right.
What he said most entertaining part for him was would have some big truck with a big screen on the side of it, and he would go to events, and then he would go in and do live voicing with interacting with people. And he said that was a good time. I'd go with that.
The original commercial featured Kelsey Grammer was the Geico Gecko.
Really?
Yeah. And then, so that was 1999, and then he's appeared in 150 commercials as of 2017.
If you could score a gig like that,
oh, man.
You're set. You're set for life.
Let me go to John here real quick. Hey, John, good morning.
Best sign of waking up is focus in your cup.
Oh, the Folgers commercial. Yeah.
Very good, John.
Nicely done.
So what's up?
I was talking about something else.
Best sign of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
There you go.
You know the Hungry Hungry Hippos commercial?
Yes.
Hungry Hungry Hippos. I think I read somewhere that the guy behind seeing that is a guy named Rory Dodd. He does the turn around in Total Eclipse of the Heart. He also does some backing vocals for some other Jim Steinman projects, like with Meatloaf and others.
Okay.
Wow.
Are you standing in front of a mirror now with your legs crossed naked?
No.
You have a basket.
Thank you, John. Wow.
Oh, the girl. Yeah, high five. We have high five.
Thank you.
She got the Silence of the Lambs.
Thank you, John. Appreciate your contribution.
You got to go to line. Line four sounds like an urban legend.
Okay.
Paul Freeze, this voiceover artist.
Tommy, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Yeah, bud.
Okay, so Paul Freeze that you mentioned earlier about the Blueberry commercials and
yes.
all that stuff. Allegedly, he was a undercover DEA agent. But the interesting thing is, you know the whole thing about Elvis and Nixon?
Yes.
That's how all that got started. Elvis met Paul Freeze in Vegas at a concert backstage. And that's what he would do. He would kind of...
Hey, man, you're Blueberry. Can you make me a DEA agent?
You got it. So when Elvis saw that Freeze had the badge, that's what caused him to go to Nixon and say, I want one.
You know what? Did you see that on Drunk History?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Because I think I remember.
You saw that?
I saw it on Drunk History, and their history is correct on that show.
It's with Jack Black. And, yeah.
But I remember them telling the story of Elvis had met somebody who told him that, yeah, you get this badge, you get to pull over whoever you want, and you have this.
So you think this has some merit?
It might be. I just don't remember the Paul Freeze part about it. So I'll have to go back and look at that. All right. Thanks, Tommy. Appreciate it, man. That's an interesting story. All right. We'll see you later. I'll check on that.
Paul Freeze did fight in D-Day. In
did
Normandy.
He?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, he was also married seven times.
Oh, wow.
Seven?
Seven yep. times.
Wow.
Okay. I'm trying to find out
and who
more
was
about
the,
Nixon, though.
Which one was he the voice of, did I say?
Yes.
You did, but I can't keep track.
We threw out so many names and so many characters.
Oh, he was Blueberry and the Pillsbury Doughboy, who, and Toucan Sam.
And he's the ghost host in the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland and Disney World.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool.
Paul Freeze, yeah.
That's a neat little legacy.
One of our coworkers for a while, Lucy, she was the greeting voice at one of the casinos.
Yeah. Oh, you can still hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
the Trump, I think Caesars when that was around.
She was the voice. When
you welcome to Caesars, you know, when you walk around in the hallways and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, no way.
You
that's funny.
That. I did some voices for
You did wedding disasters and...
Yeah, but not just TV stuff. I mean, like where you'd be walking around and you need to hear my voice, you know, welcoming you or telling you about wherever you were. I forgot where they were. I did that.
Here's where you are.
Here's where you're here right now. I thought that was an interesting look. So
that
guy,
is interesting.
Chuck McCann, he was the voice of Sonny from Cocoa Puffs. I'm Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. He was a guy, and he passed away over the weekend. But
who played Fredo Cuckoo Puffs? All the characters, all the Godfather characters, is represented in the Cocoa Puffs world.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
Sonny and Michael.
All right, anyhow, you never know. This conversation may cover a little bit more. Like you said, we have Mark Summers, who is just he's a pop culture dictionary.
Well, and this is his realm, too. He would know this stuff.
Oh, and look who just walked in. We're about ready to take a break.
I know that, but Marvin Kaplan was in that scene with Jonathan Winters.
So you know what I'm talking about, right? Arnold Stang.
I worked on Alice for 8 years on CBS, and Marvin was the guy who came in and was always the customer. And so I used to have these long talks with him about Arnold Stang and those kind of...
Who's a legend.
Legend, absolutely. Yeah. And his roommate, I believe, I'm trying to remember, he was some famous person. But anyway, I think Arnold Stang may still be able to be around.
Is he?
Ooh, okay.
I think he's maybe 90 years old. I think he's still around.
Right, my name is Arnold Stang.
But Dawes Butler, do you know who did Huckleberry Hound?
Yeah, the biggest show in town is Huckleberry Hound.
And then you're talking about Thurl's Ravenwood. There's a thing called a Pageant of the Masters, which is in Southern California somewhere, where people come out And they act out a painting. Like, they'll say, no, the blue boy. And there's a guy who stands there. Okay.
Yes.
Well, he was the voice of that. So when you would go to that, you would hear Tony the Tiger saying, well, this painting is about... And also, Thurl did a lot of voices for Disney on The Haunted Castle as well. So
that's cool. So he had, obviously, a pronounced baritone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
By the way, Dawes Butler was the voice of Captain Crunch.
Who did not have a baritone.
And Quispy. Well, he was kind of goofy.
Yeah.
He spoke like that, if you remember.
I had a head injury.
You know, Billy West is the king of that stuff now.
Yeah, we're just saying. The guy is just phenomenal.
He's crazy. And Frank Welker. Do you know Frank? He's done amazing.
Oh,
yeah. I know Frank. Yeah. Or I know of him.
Yeah.
So, but this story about Paul Frees that listener called in, that's true. So there's this connection from Paul Frees to
Paul
Elvis.
Paul Frees was a DEA agent.
To Nixon, yeah. And wow. Elvis saw Paul Frees' badge and gun and wanted one, too. And that's how he ended up requesting one from the president of the United States.
Bruce Valanche was a Green Beret. A lot of people don't know that.
Wow.
Who was?
Bruce Valanche.
What?
No. Just, I've known Bruce for years.
Trust me.
Green Beret.
The man who always wears red shoes.
It's all about 30% fact.
We just imparted more useless and incorrect information than any show.
Sorry, driving in. I just had to come in, though, because you were driving me nuts. You were talking about
Of course. We knew, and I said it. I said I knew you would know a lot of this. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyhow, Chuck McCann has passed away, and we are going to have to take a break because we got $1,000 to give away. We'll have Mark Summers in our studio in a little bit, and our birthday bucks. Yep, that's coming up, as well as the B-File. And when we do the B-File, we need your help with something, and I think you'll enjoy helping out with this. We'll tell you what that is when we get back. Stay with us.
WMMR and A&T Chevy present MMR's Birthday Bucks. It's our birthday and your chance to get the gifts. We're not talking a five spot and a card from grandma. Oh, no. This is your shot to win $1,000 cash five times a day. Tune in at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. You'll hear that hour's keyword and simply text it to the special contest text number 40772. One random texter wins $1,000. MMR's birthday bucks five times a day at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. Sponsored by A&T Chevy in Sellersville, where Chevys really do cost less. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
All right, we're going to do the Bizarre File, but then after that, we are going to ask you to participate in something. So I want you to stay with us through this entire segment because we need your help. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, Dan, it's brought to you this morning by A.D. Moyer, voted the number one window dealer in the Tri-County area for 15 consecutive years. Don't just replace your windows. Upgrade your home with Anderson Windows. ADMoyer.com. A student said that she was asked to cover her nipples with bandages this week after they became a distraction for other students at Braden River High School.
Damn you and your nipples.
Lizzie Martinez, who is 17, decided not to wear a bra on her gray long-sleeve shirt on Monday, and school officials felt she became a target of her classmates' stares. But Martinez says the humiliation began when school dean Violeta Velasquez had called her into the office. Martinez felt like she was being bullied by fellow students, but Velasquez said that there was a distraction that needed to be addressed. And according to the student, she said, she told me that I needed to put on a shirt under my long sleeve shirt to try to tighten my breasts, to constrict them.
Can you tighten up those breasts there?
And then she asked me to move around. Apparently, the second shirt wasn't enough, Martinez said.
Undulate a little bit. Walk with one shoulder up.
Because she was then sent to the nurse's office. The nurse handed Martinez four bandages, two to cover each nipple, leaving her in tears, apparently.
We're going to have to remove your nipples.
On Thursday afternoon, the school district acknowledged that officials could have handled the situation better, but the district says that they were only trying to enforce the district's dress code.
Okay. I mean, just send her home, then, to get changed.
Yeah.
Right, you don't have to perform an experiment in the nurse's office.
The district's general counsel, Mitchell Tittlebaum.
I'm going to send you down to Mr. Knockers.
Said it is undisputed that this matter should have been handled differently at the school level, and corrective measures should have been taken to prevent reoccurrence in the way these matters will be addressed in the future.
Mrs. Mamarian, can you come in here, please?
Tittlebaum went on to say that Martinez violated the dress code by dressing in a way that distracted other students, and that school officials were only trying to help her fix the violation.
I tell you what, in school, when a girl would show up dressed in some way that was mildly provocative, you know, it was as distracting as could be in class.
Yeah.
Kathy, it's not you have big nipples. Did you ever have an issue with this?
Oh, my God. Hashtag me too.
yeah, there you go.
No, but you know what? You know my friend, Elisa from Dressing Jane? She used to get sent home from school a lot because her skirts and shorts and dresses were too short.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. But not because she had rock hard nipples.
No. It had nothing to do with the nipples.
I do.
Yeah.
I have THO all the time.
Yeah, man. It's hot.
I just can't help it.
Sometimes I can't even do the show.
Would you say THO?
Yeah. You don't know what that is?
No.
I can't say the word, the T word, hard on.
Oh.
T hard on.
Oh, okay.
You guys never heard THO?
No.
Oh, okay. That was a thing that we had.
It was a thing
that me and my friend said. I thought everybody said it.
I thought everybody had that.
We also said DSB, which is deadly sperm buildup, but that's totally different.
We had DSL.
Yeah, I know what those are.
You had that?
You have admitted that.
Nick had DSL.
You know your guy, friend.
I tell you what, that McElwain has some DSLs on him.
How do you think I got through going?
Yeah.
Why do you think it took small?
And the great part is a ponytail you can pull up and down on.
Oh, dude. By the way, Martinez says she plans to stop wearing a bra in protest of what happened. On Monday, she tagged the school in a tweet that says, "Stop sexualizing my body."
Stop it!
So her mom is really pissed off about it, by the way.
Yeah.
So, all right, anyhow, moving along. A 27-year-old woman died. This is horrible. After she was embalmed alive.
Oh, what?
As doctors mistakenly put her on a formalin drip. It was a solution containing formaldehyde instead of saline.
The incident
took place in a hospital in the city of Ulyanovska in Russia, where Ekaterine Fediava was admitted there for routine surgery.
So she's in there for routine surgery and they have embalming fluid in the same place?
Fediava's mother accused the medical team of murder after her daughter suffered horrible pains and convulsions for 2 days before going into a coma.
Oh, my God.
The drip that was given to Fediava is normally infused into the veins of the dead to prevent decomposition. Later, the woman was flown to a top Moscow hotel where she died of multiple organ failure.
They flew her to a hotel?
Did I say hotel?
Yeah.
Hospital.
Sorry.
Well, here's the good news. You're getting an all-expenses-paid weekend at the Moscow Ramada.
No. Her mother, Galina Bereznok...
Quickly, get her to hotel.
Bereznikova said her legs were moving. She had convulsions. Her whole body was shaking. I put socks on her, then a robe, then a blanket, but she was shivering to such an extent I can't even describe it. No doctor came to see her, although she was coming around from anesthetic.
Embalmed while alive.
Yeah, she said her daughter was given the drip. She suffered chronic stomach pains and vomiting. We had no idea that it was formalin, and they knew very well that they washed up her body with a poison, and they did nothing to help. And now I understand that formalin was simply eroding her body from the inside. Wow.
That's horrific.
Yeah, so obviously they're looking into this whole thing. But she said that they did it. They were alerted to it, and they didn't do anything about it. Let's see. We got time for one more. That's it. I'm sorry. These are pretty involved stories. Let's go with this one. New York State police investigators tried to determine Monday why a driver slammed his charter bus packed with students returning from spring break into a bridge overpass on Long Island, injuring several teens, chaperones, and the driver. And Steve, it took the top of the bus
off. I saw the pictures. It's horrific. And they believe the guy might have done it on purpose?
I don't know. They were traveling from JFK along the Southern State Parkway. Now, photos from the scene of the crash indicated that the top of the bus was ripped off by the overpass. A spokesman for the state police said that most commercial vehicles are banned from the parkway where bridges are too low to accommodate buses.
It's true. They have it happen all the time where people get on Southern State accidentally, truck drivers, and you'll see them get jammed under the bridges.
The spokesman said, "I don't think the driver had any awareness. If you look at the damage, it was a high-impact strike. We are very lucky. This could have been tragic." A driver, Troy Gaston of Bethlehem, PA, and the 43 passengers on board were taken to several area hospitals. Two people suffered serious injuries. Five others suffered moderate ones, and the other injuries were minor. The bus was headed to a mall where the students were going to be reunited with their parents. But
Those bridges, by the way, Preston, they're sort of curved, so it's like an archway. Oh. So it's even worse.
Yeah. All right, and there you go. That is what I have for the bizarre file for you. All right, so something that we've kicked around and we've mentioned from time to time for years now looks like it's finally going to happen. It was about 5 years ago that this little grudge match started.
Became a battle royale.
It did, and it was actually a really, really fun week of radio.
Fun for some, torturous for others.
This is true. but we are ready to reignite the fire, and we are once again going to do Delco versus Bucksco.
Whoa!
Yes, it's going to happen. Yeah.
It should really be Bucksco versus Delco.
You know, I said that. I said that before.
In case, all right, so let's do it, because as the victor... All right. Bucksco versus
because
Delco.
I did win last time.
You did.
You did
dominated.
Win last time.
Yeah,
and then what was the other little follow-up to that? We did...
We did a Philly's Hottest.
That was it.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was it.
And
Bucksco
yeah,
won
Bucksco
that show.
Won.
Bucksco won?
Yeah. Yeah, because Casey wasn't happy
about
it.
Yeah, we usually win.
So anyhow, Bucksco versus Delco.
I'm 0 for whatever. I think 100. I have not won.
But the thing is...
But that one didn't count. This is head-to-head.
Yeah,
this is you two going against each other. So... What we need from you, okay, because there was some protest 5 years ago.
Not from Casey.
Never. Never.
There was some protest from Casey that the trivia portion of the contest, which was on the final day, Casey felt that he got a number of questions that weren't really clear-cut answers, or ones that he wouldn't have possibly known because it wasn't from his part of Delaware County.
And I can say this as well. Our methodology of gleaning those questions was not the best it could have been.
So wait a minute. Are we focused?
Hang on. We just went to people that we knew in the building
that
lived in the areas and knew a thing or two about it.
Because we're not from those areas.
Exactly. Right, so we can't definitively say, oh, well, that's the answer to that question.
Right.
Or this is an important landmark in Delaware County. Or this is a place that everybody knows in Bucks County. So we decided to reach out to a definitive source, and that would be you, the people who reside in these counties, that grew up in these counties and know these areas. And I'll explain what we're going to do in just a second. But Casey?
Yeah, I just want to point out that...
of course.
No, you're not going to expect what I'm about to say here.
Okay.
You know, despite my protest on some of the questions, I lost this contest. I, going into Final Jeopardy or whatever you want to call it, had a lead. We both got the question wrong. I wagered too many points, and I am the only one to blame for the loss.
That's very mature and adult of you on this.
Yeah. But the question's leading up to that, a bunch of bullcrap.
Well, hold on.
He did have some issues with the efficacy of a lot of the questions.
So Casey and I really we don't know much about this. You guys have kind of taken this over, and, you know, you're leaving us out on purpose.
We sent you out of specifically, we cast you out of a conference we were having so that you could
be. Yeah, you were like, can Kathy and Casey leave? I was like,
yeah. Can I go home?
Are we getting fired?
We want to meet your replacements.
No, okay, so, but you mentioned the question. So are we focusing on the specific area that we grew up in?
No.
No.
Okay.
Well, Lower Bucks County, right? For you, Lower Bucks County?
Yeah, but you said they weren't, some of his questions weren't the area. So I didn't know if we were doing.
Here's what we're going to do. I'll lay it out all on the table. I'm just going to throw it right out at you.
Yep.
We'll see if you can zip it right back.
All willy-nilly.
So here's what we do. We've set up a couple of email addresses. Nick, is the link up on PresidentSteve.com yet?
Well, the link's not up, but just give out the addresses, and we'll go from there.
All right, well, Marissa wants a link to be put on the website where people can go and click on. But it's going to be Delco@WMMR.com or Bucksco@WMMR.com. We just want to make sure you spell it properly. We want you to provide us with questions that we should ask these guys. Now, the trivia part is not the only thing we're going to do. We're going to do a whole week of it like we did 5 years ago. But it's just one part of it. And so what we would like you to do is supply us with the questions and answers. Now, we are also going to have a county council that we are going to put together of people that we know and trust who can verify the questions that you send in. So before you send in an obvious jokey thing, please don't waste our time. We're going to get lots of responses, and we need to go through all of these. So we want to get definitive questions and answers that we can use on the show. We're going to run them by our county councils. We have people that we know that grew up in those areas and may not have thought about the questions that you have in mind. And they can be a variety of topics. It can be local notables. It can be landmarks. It can be events that took place. It can be history of the county.
Anything.
Whatever you want, we want a surplus of information, and we'll go through it all.
So, for example, last time around, we went online and started to get some stuff. And it's not the same sort of trivia we're looking for.
Yeah, I know that a lot of the Delco questions came from Kevin Gunn and Beth Gardner, who... They grew up in the Havertown area, so there were a lot of questions that were directly in, you know, in that area, which, you know, to tell you the truth, you know, that wasn't my area of expertise.
Well, and listen, I'll say my questions, I had no problem with them, and there were some that I got wrong that I thought I should have known, but I didn't have any problem with the questions. last time around. I thought they were good.
And this has been the battle of contention between both Kathy and Casey for a while. So but in this case, all right, we're gonna repair this part of the contest so that everyone can walk away and say they got a fair shake at the questions. Yeah. We will obviously go through all of them and vet everything and make sure. We figured the largest supply of questions we can get funneling in can bring us down to really good, usable questions. You're going to send them to these two sites, to these two accounts, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, I go back to the one that that case I think you had a bit of an issue with, which was about a prostitute who had a street name.
Oh, yeah, State Road Sally.
State Road Stacy. And there was no way you would have known that, right? Because it was like a neighborhood thing?
It's a neighborhood thing. Listen, but I think that's a fairish question. There was another one that I had a problem with because they had said this guy was the number one overall draft pick in the NFL, and there were no number one overall draft picks. And I'm like, and I should have known what the answer was, but I didn't.
We're going to make sure we're going to call a lot of questions. We're going to have multiple people review them to make sure that they're solid questions for that final Jeopardy round.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot better at refining questions for a Christmas Miracle broadcast. We're going to take the same kind of approach to that and make sure that we vet these questions and that the answers are legit and the questions are legit. Because, I mean, we want it to be a fair contest.
Are we going to do another drop us off blindfold?
You don't need to know anything.
You guys know nothing. And I got that wrong, but that was still fun.
We have some new, unique things that we're going to try out, and we have some old standards that we're going to try, but we have some stuff that'll freshen it up a tad.
And by the way, for people submitting questions and so on and so forth, you know, we want to keep those questions away from these guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, do it on the up and up.
Yeah.
So.
And then a full-on boxing match.
Oh, my God.
Get in the ring.
No, but listen, like I said, local notables, events that taking place, food, celebrities, whatever it is.
We really
it has to do with Delaware County and Bucks County. And Kathy, you're kind of lower Bucks County and whatever. Bring it up.
Yeah, no, that's lower Bucks.
Almost think of it as the pop culture of both areas. The stuff that's, you know, that you would assume that would be fun, that you can't go with something that what's at the end of my block.
No.
You know,
but schools and businesses and things like that. That's what we're kind of looking for.
I think we got it now, right? We'll see if we get back.
Yep. All right.
And so, your help is going to be critical to making this work.
It's bucksco at WMMR.com for Kathy and delco at WMMR for Casey. And we'll get a timeline as we get a little bit closer and we start to amass this information. But it's several weeks away before we do this. There's some things that need a lot of setup.
Spell Bucksco, if you would, for people.
B-U-C-K-S-C-O.
Yeah, we didn't go with the X.
No, not the X.
Right. No, we have to change this.
Well, that's why the link's on PrestonSteve.com. So you don't have to think about it. You just go in there and you get it done. And man, I wish I was you guys.
Yeah.
Because I want to do something like this.
Well, there's something else that's coming up that may pertain just to you. So
shut up.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Because when we had done that one, drop us off and put us somewhere, we had to guess where we were.
You don't need to know any of this.
No. But I was saying we could do that with you, Preston, with golf courses. We could drop you off.
Oh, yeah. I remember you guys kicking that around. You never know.
That would be a great idea.
All right. So thank you in advance for your participation. And just go to PrestonSteve.com and get that done. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with our very good friend, Mark Summers, who has already made an appearance on the show this morning.
A return appearance this morning.
Yes. We're also going to have Travis Konecny on the program from your Philadelphia Flyers headed into the playoffs this week, man. And our friends from the Dietz & Watson Real Philly Deli Face-Off are arriving. We've got tons of food, and I'll tell you more about that in just a little bit. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
All right, thanks, Kath, for his second appearance on the show this morning. We'd like to welcome our guest. No, he's at his home away from home. Please welcome our very good friend, Mr. Mark Summers. Yay!
I'm just so comfortable here, and you're talking about, you know, my area, so I had to do it. You know?
I knew it. I knew you'd be into that. I know you'd know all those voiceover. We were talking about the death of a great guy, voiceover artist Chuck McCann earlier. And then all the other people who provide the voices for things like, you know, the Poppin' Fresh and the Cocoa Puffs. What's his name? Sonny?
Yeah.
Yes. All those characters. So,
do you know I have no idea who this mystery voiceover person was, but inspired me in wanting to do commercial voiceover and radio and stuff was whoever the guy was that was the voice for the Ginsu knife commercials that used to run.
Ginsu knives.
Because I would mimic it. I would, you know, in Japan, the hand can split wood like a knife. But ever try it with an egg? You know, and it was, I loved it. I'm like, I would like to do that. So yeah, I was always fascinated with people on the mic.
Me too. As a kid, I used to sit in my bedroom and talk into a flashlight and read Time magazine, pretending to be on the radio. Because back in the day, there was a thing called Monitor, which was on NBC Radio from New York, but you could get it all over the country. And on weekends, it was Ed McMahon, it was Gene Rayburn, it was all these guys. And it was guys I would watch on TV but didn't know they did radio as well. And Ed McMahon and I became very good friends, and I just, you know, tried to emulate whatever that sound was.
Yeah.
You know?
How long did you know Ed McMahon for?
Oh, for many years. I always found ways to meet celebrities just to get in the door. And when I moved to Los Angeles, I decided to write a book on second bananas, okay? And I interviewed Johnny Olsen. I interviewed Jay Stewart, who was the announcer on Let's Make a Deal originally. Derwood Kirby.
Candid Cameron.
Candid Cameron. And he also was on a show with Gary Moore. And I called up Ed McMahon. And I remember I sat in his dressing room at NBC at The Tonight Show as he got a mani-pedi.
And former Marine getting a mani-pedi.
Yes, and this was 1974, 75. Yeah.
So I read like Carson's the Bombastic Bushkin, his the book that Nick, you read it as well.
I did. Yeah, it's a fascinating read.
The relationship with Carson and Ed McMahon
didn't exist.
Yeah, I thought so. It seems to be all the indicators that it was just on air. And occasionally, you know, stuff off air, but that was, there was no.
Like there's a story, and I got to figure out how I can tell this. I'm working on Star Search, okay,
right,
as the warm-up announcer. And Ed, his whole thing was he wanted to get it done as fast as possible.
I want to go home.
All he wanted to hear was, thank you, Mr. McMahon. Those were his favorite words, so he could walk out the door. And sometimes they say, you kind of fumbled there. We need to do it again. He go, nope, we're moving on. He didn't care. Okay, so when the show was bigger than life and we were coming to May Sweeps, he asked Johnny to be on the show. And I know he was nervous about asking Johnny to be on the show. And Johnny came. And they were backstage, and I was backstage just observing, trying to be a fly on the wall.
Right.
And Johnny looked around the curtain and saw Ed's wife sitting in the front row and went berserk on Ed. How dare she come? What, you got to bring your wife everywhere you go? And he just berated Ed.
Why?
And Ed did not say a word.
Man.
It was really uncomfortable, and yet a slice of, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. And they just, it wasn't a comfortable thing at all.
Yeah.
And after the show went off, I'd see Ed every now and then. I was doing some charity events with him. And I said to him, do you see Johnny? And he says, we have dinner once a year. And that was it.
I kind of get the feeling that Johnny and Letterman are cut from the same cloth, and that you think you might want to be friends with those guys, but the reality of it is you probably wouldn't want to be friends with those guys.
I don't think you can.
That too.
Johnny's dead. It's almost impossible.
It's very difficult.
He doesn't ever engage in conversations.
But, you know, Johnny had his card game with, you know, Steve Martin and Martin Short and some of those kind of things. Dave just could never be that comfortable. I think Dave tried to impersonate Johnny in many ways, but the other thing is, you know, I don't know if you read the book about Dave, where they kind of trashed him. But I had many friends who moved to New York when he first did the late night show and turned around and came home 6 weeks later because Dave was not the kindest man to him at all.
Really?
No. He treated him very poorly. And Tom Dreesen.
Who's the nicest guy, right?
The best man in the world.
Stand-up comic.
Dave and him been friends for over 40 years. And the question was, if you could change anything now, what would you have changed? And Dave's line was, I would have been nicer to people.
Is that what he fessed up about that?
Yeah.
Because it's funny, though, to that point, man, these guys who you think you know, they're tortured people.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Johnny's life growing up, his mother was completely withdrawn and wouldn't show him any love. And
you know his line when she died?
No.
Ding dong, the witch is dead.
Wow. That's tends to indicate they didn't get along.
Yes.
Right.
Did you see the Gary Shandling Zen Diary?
I saw the first part. I want to see the second part. It's amazing. It's Judd Apatow's tribute to Gary Shandling.
And I was good friends with Gary. And I learned more watching that than I ever knew, because another tortured soul, beyond tortured.
Who was the most tortured that you encountered? Because these people that we, you know, for years provide us with laughter and entertainment and all that stuff,
again, you say you don't know what they're like on the other. You know, seeing your film, the documentary, and we were honored to preside over the screening here. You know, not to say you're tortured, but in a way, you know, you're not like that. But you never know someone the way you think you know them over years of experience and then through television or film. Who was the most tortured?
Well, I'd say Dave probably. I started the Comedy Store in 76 with Dave and Robin and Jay and Gary. We were all there together. And Dave couldn't, to this day, can't take a compliment. Yeah. If you tell him he's good, he just doesn't believe you. And, you know, there's all sorts of stories of Dave. He was at the Stage Deli in New York. I walked up to him and said, you're my favorite late night talk show host. And he gave him his bill and said, if you like me so much, then pay my bill. And he walked out. I mean, he would do those kinds of whacked out stuff.
Yeah.
Shandling was tortured. I mean, when you see the documentary, you will see he wrote everything down, absolutely everything down.
A very comprehensive journal.
Yeah, and he was great. He used to dissect my act. He would say to me, let me tell you why you're not getting a laugh here, because you got two words too many, or you need to put this word in front of this one, and it'll work. And he was great. He was a technician. He knew how to do that. Mm. But that was his life.
Right.
And he never really had, I mean, if you see the documentary, he had this girl that he dated for a long time, and they broke up, and she was a regular on the show, and the next day she got fired. I mean, those kinds of things. And for some reason, comedians tend to be that way. We have somebody looking at my documentary now to put it out. I can't tell who it is just yet. We're re-editing it for them. And one of the comments was, you're actually much more successful than you pretend to be in your film. And I said, no, that's kind of who I am. There's one line that I say, if you remember, which is, I always feel like I'm a AAA baseball team, never quite making it to the majors.
Yes, yeah.
And that's how I really feel. I'm not trying to be self-deprecating. I mean, that's how I really feel. I'm still trying to make it. And they said, I don't buy into that. And I said, well, I'm not going to change it to make you happy because that's my life.
So you have it. You've done a re-edit on it?
We're doing it now. They wanted to move the celebrities more up front, and they wanted me to take like 6 or 8 minutes out. So we're in the middle of that process, and hopefully I'll have an announcement the next time I come here. But okay. It's all good. I got to have a talk with you guys. You know, I've been coming here for 12 or 14 years.
Yes.
And you are very successful. I mean, you're number one. Okay. Yeah. Nobody's better. That couch out in that waiting room.
It's bad, isn't it?
For the Thank love you. Of God.
It's terrible.
I don't want to sit. I mean, my OCD is pretty good now, but I don't want to sit on that thing anymore.
I was on there the other day. We rarely get out on that couch. I was out there the other day, and I'm like, why is this like this?
Oh, my God.
It's horrible.
Why is this still here?
The GM just came in. I should have told him.
Do you know what it's like? I liken it to the couch in the Flintstones living room. It's hard. It's uncomfortable. It's stained. Now, mind you, it's all cut up.
Are you talking about your pants or what?
Yeah. But it's really, they're redoing the green room.
Yeah. We're getting a whole new green room.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's
and
nice.
It'll be comfy.
Yeah. Oh, good. So next time it'll be more better?
Well, there'll be black better. Tape over the cuts in the
oh my God,
electric tape.
When
over
you're
the
putting tape over the couch in a very successful, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Please.
We need to call a CSI setup and actually test it for.
Oh, no. You don't want to put that blue light fluids. On that
thing, yeah, man. Totally. The luminol.
The Jackie Bam Bam's going to be all over that
the semen seeker, whatever it is.
I'm sure he's had his way with that couch a number of times.
I just needed to be here. I called up Marissa and I said, I have nothing to talk about other than the fact I need my fix of Preston and Steve and the whole gang.
Well, we have stuff to talk about. Also, now, you know, we were surprised to hear that you had a health scare, and it seems like you're doing well.
I had cancer again, boys.
I
had 6 months of chemo, flying back and forth. You know, sadly, I had to move, out of Philadelphia, and I'm back in I'm in beautiful Santa Barbara. I'm not complaining. But I've had 5 evacuations between the floods and the fires and the mudslides.
That's the last time we talked to you. You were dealing with that.
That was crazy.
You
and
had
then
leukemia, right?
Chronic lymphatic leukemia. I wasn't feeling good in July. Got diagnosed in August and started 6 months of chemo. So actually, when I saw you guys when we did the movie, I was in the middle of treatment.
We had no idea. We had no idea.
And you come back here for treatment?
Yes. I love University of Pennsylvania Hospital.
Uh-huh.
And I love the doctors there. I love the nurses there. I love everybody over there. And I feel they've saved my life. Dr. Stattenmauer is my oncologist. And I would fly back and forth from L.A. to come here and get treatment. And in September, I had four treatments. So we just kind of moved in at a place called Roost over on 18th and Chestnut in one of those apartment hotel deals, since I don't have a place here anymore. And, yeah, I got the first two were pretty brutal, but after that, it was okay.
Well, I remember I saw a clip of you, and I forget exactly where I saw you look great. And then I was reading the story, and I'm like, what the hell? And I asked Marissa, and we were all sort of... But at that point, when we saw that video clip, you were you're out of the woods. It all turned. And right now you're in.
I'm good. My last treatment was like February 12th.
Okay.
And knocked it out. First time I had chemo was 2 years. This time was 6 months. I was on a chemo called Gazyva, and it just knocked it out.
It blew it right out.
Yeah.
Well, that's great news.
Yeah, no evidence of disease after the second treatment.
What was the second kind of cancer that you had?
Same one, chronic lymphatic leukemia.
Came back.
Just came back.
Okay.
And so it was that and just putting things in my car every 20 minutes in Santa Barbara because they said, we're going to lose our house and everything. And then you try to decide, well, what the hell do you put in the car? And you find out that anything that's valuable sits in the back seat, and then you drive away and go, well, hell, I don't care about anything else.
Yeah.
But it just gets exhausting. We are fatigued. And if you drove around Santa Barbara and Montecito, the disaster, it's going to take us years to come back from what that whole thing's about.
So what was in your back seat?
Photo albums, home movies, the passport, and personal papers,
documents, stuff you can't replace,
or
that would be difficult to replace.
Yeah, and I have a couple pictures. I have a Hirschfeld, a painting that I love, and a painting of Jack Benny, and we left,
wow.
And that was it. And you drive away. We came back the first time, and I do have a guest house. Okay, forgive me for that. But, yes. But that got
you
mud
son
damage.
Of a bitch.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I was feeling such an asshole.
What about the second guest house?
Is that what you get in the AAA leagues?
Guest house. You get a guest house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I live across from Oprah. Okay, so anyway.
It's right next to the stables. Just tell me that the golf course didn't get changed.
Preston just spit out water.
Yeah, we did a Danny Thomas spit take there with Preston.
God.
Anyway, yeah. TV been Betty, but good to me. But
yeah.
Anyway, but I still, this is my place. I got to come back to Philly and live the real world here. So
I love the question you asked, Kathy, about what did you have in the trunk? Is it kind of wild to take a look at what your essentials are and physically take them out and say, well, everything else is just gravy, and these are the things that I need,
Couches, chairs, television sets, you go, it makes no difference whatsoever.
What was the most frivolous item that you just last second? Did you grab like a Nerf gun or something?
It's my favorite Nerf gun.
It's my favorite Nerf gun.
No, there was nothing that made any difference. It really didn't.
It's like Steve Martin in The Jerk when he's taking those things.
The chair.
I need this thermos.
Do you have a Hirschfeld?
That is straight.
I've got two.
Are they original?
Do you know who Hirschfeld is?
The great caricaturist.
Right. And he basically did Broadway People, and I knew I was never going to be on Broadway.
Legendary pictures. It was an honor to get a Hirschfeld out of you.
And he was in The New Yorker all the time.
All the time.
And so, and if people don't know, he would write his daughter or granddaughter's name, Nina.
Nina. It was his daughter.
And so my father introduced me to Hirschfeld by showing me New Yorker cartoons and saying, look for the Ninas.
Look for the Ninas. That was a big thing. So I called up Margot somebody, I forget her name, used to manage him. And I said, there you go. And I said, does Mr. Hirschfeld do, private? And he goes, yes. And I said, how much is it? And she said, $20,000. And I said, okay, well, I'm not going to be doing that.
Does the man who does Hirschfeld ripoffs?
Yes, yes.
Is he available?
So she Hirschfeld. Said, how much would you be willing to spend? And I said, well, that's way out of my league. And this was many years ago. I said, $5,000 would be pushing it, but I don't want to insult the man. She said, well, we couldn't possibly do it for $5,000. So I said, okay, thank you, and hung up. She called back 5 minutes later.
My name is Gabe Hirschfeld.
And she called back 5 minutes later. She said, would you do $15,000? I said, no, I can't afford that. So she said, what's the most you can afford? And I said, $5,000. She said, no, I can't do it. She called back 5 minutes later. She said, what about $10,000? And I said, out of my league.
Yeah.
So she said, I can't do it for five, but if you can't afford 10,
seven?
Yeah. And I said, done.
Oh. You're going back and forth,
yes.
Bargaining.
Yeah. So I flew to New York City and went to his apartment on Park Avenue.
Whoa.
Okay.
You watched him take a shower.
That's in my book. I don't want to talk about that. Right. And she said, do you mind walking three flights? He had a new wife. The old one passed away, and he was with some 30-something.
That was attractive. The generation that waited for the first wife to die before they got married again.
There you go. Yeah. So she said, he's up on the third floor. Do you mind going up there? I said, no. So as I'm walking up, on the walls are paintings, Hirschfeld paintings on the freaking walls.
Wow, how many did you steal?
I wanted to, but I mean, no, they're literally painted on the wall. Pictures. So I get up there, and he always wore this jumpsuit, and he was sitting behind a desk that I knew all about, and he had this wood piece that he'd been drawing for years, and I sat and talked to him for about a half hour, and on the TV was a video of me, and he was sketching pictures of me.
That's wild.
So I was talking, I talked for about a half hour, it was like 28 minutes, and then he looked at me and said, okay, which was his way of saying, get the hell out of here, okay? I said, may I take a picture of you, sir? And he said, yes. And I took a picture of him. And I said, can I have that sketch that you have? And he went, absolutely not. Okay, fine. And as I was walking down, I figured, well, hell, I'm never going to be in this place again. I started taking pictures on the wall.
Yeah.
And the wife downstairs said, excuse me, what are you doing? And I said, I'm leaving. And she said, yes, you are.
Wow.
And I went out the door and she slammed it on me. And 6 weeks later, sent to my house was a full-blown Hirschfeld. And I framed it into my office, and just the fact I got to meet him, interact with him, and have that there.
Is there a Nina in it?
There are 17 Ninas.
17?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I did them in my tie.
He went Nina crazy.
He did. And
I hate this son of a bitch. I'm gonna Nina this thing up like nobody's business.
And Jack Benny was my favorite comedian, and I went to an auction and got a Jack Benny Hirschfeld, and that's hanging on the wall in the hallway, so that's kind of cool.
I have to ask, so yes. Doing some... You know, because I like to dig up things.
Uh-oh.
I saw this, your acting role.
Mm-hmm.
There's an acting role for a movie called The Sleepwalker Killer.
Yeah.
In which you are listed as second reporter. And Hilary Swank was in it. It's a made-for-TV movie.
Yes, she was.
Tell us what it was like and what your performance was like as second reporter in The Sleepwalker Killing.
I had never done a movie in my entire life. We were shooting down in downtown Los Angeles near USC. I was scared out of my mind. When I went to do the audition, I walked in, and for whatever reason, you know that whole thing they always say, don't make the audition the focal point of your day. Make sure you have two or three things to do afterwards.
Yeah.
So I went in, read the lines, and the guy said to me, man, you're perfect for this part, but I'm really scared about putting you in this thing because I know you've never done it. And I said, no, I'll be great. Okay, great. He said, I know I'm going to regret this. Those are the words I hear. As I'm going,
that's got to be encouraging as an actor to know that there's instant regret.
Oh. So I'm pooping my pants, don't know what to do. And everybody else has done 1,700 movies. They know what to do. I didn't know about the rehearsal. I didn't know anything. So what happened? Hilary Swank comes running out of the courtroom, and I'm supposed to walk up to her and say, you know, tell me about whatever it is I'm supposed to do. Well, I 32 takes. Okay.
Oh, my God.
I kept freezing. And at one point, the director grabbed me by the throat, put me up against a wall, and he said, I knew I should have never effing hired you. And I called my agent afterwards, and I said, don't ever send me out for anything like that ever again.
Are you serious?
That was my first and last movie. Yes,
oh my
and I
God.
Yeah, and I do have a copy of it, but I'm in it for 12 seconds.
So your line is just simply you're asking
I have
her
two
about
things about, you know, tell me about the court case and the murder, and did you do it? I had like three lines. And you know what I was Jackie Gleason. I was like, I'm in. I didn't have a clue. I'm not an actor.
Wow.
When did I learn that? And that was the end of that. So never again, you know.
But cut to you, you know, on stage doing your life and in essence acting, and which was, you know, now over the years, obviously you've done stuff, you've acted, you've done, you know, musicals and things of that nature.
Yeah.
You rehearsed really, really hard for that, though.
You did.
Right? Yeah. So that's a big difference.
Doing a one man show.
Dude, would you like to take another crack at second reporter now that you have this?
No, I would never do that ever again.
Never again.
No, I when you go to a movie and you see Pacino or you know, you go, oh my God, how the hell do you do that? Because there's a million cameramen and this and that, and how do you build up to that? You know, momentum? I don't know how they do it. So
I was watching him as Joe Paterno the HBO show. And it's, you know, I forget who said it, but maybe it's Rosie O'Donnell talking about acting in A League of Their Own and mm-hmm. Gina Davis. And it's such a quiet thing. And you know, you watch Pacino as Paterno, and there are these little things that he's doing that you're like, that's why he's freaking Pacino.
Yeah.
You know, there's an intimacy with the camera that wouldn't read
to anybody else as something, you know, that's going to be a good performance. But
and you
got to
let yourself go and become the Preston. Who's your favorite actor?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah,
he's unbelievable. That. It's him. My favorite American actor is Al Pacino.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel Day-Lewis blows me away because he can be Lincoln and can be Bill the Butcher, and these two completely, absolutely different people.
Yeah, how do they
do it? It's amazing.
He's working on a new role, Bill the Lincoln, which is a
he is he's a horrible person, but he's against slavery.
Okay, so,
it's the hats.
Yeah, I could never ever do that.
No,
I wanted to ask something personal. I saw that you took your grandson to Disneyland for the first time.
Oh,
last
you
month.
Know what? That's changed my life.
Yeah,
Oliver is amazing.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful child. Every grandparent who's listening to this, you know, will identify with this. Yeah, it's just a magical time because you do it with your kids and you have no idea what you're doing. So you rehearse on your kids and then you get to a comfort zone with your grandchild.
Mm-hmm. And don't you have carte blanche to just totally indulge them and screw them up and make them the nightmare for their...
Yeah, and my son and my daughter-in-law just hate me and because we just, you know, whatever he wants.
Of course.
My mom actually tells my son, you can do whatever you want at grandma's house.
Yeah.
Like, she actually says that to
Yeah. It's my wife is the same way. If he wanted to take, you know, crayons and paint the wall,
yeah,
just let him do it.
He's doodling on my Hirschfeld.
Yeah, right. That sounds obscene. Here's a euphemism.
Yes. He's doodling on my Hirschfeld.
My Hirschfeld was completely engorged.
Oh, my God. And then it squirted.
I got a little doodle on it.
Got a little doodle came out.
Now, did you go to Disney with him, or was this just he went?
I did not get to go on this one.
Okay.
My son went, but and I lived vicariously through the pictures.
Okay.
And I got mad because I found out they were going and didn't tell us because we wanted to be the first to do it. But guess what? He'll go again in a few days.
Sure.
You know, because we can.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. But he comes up to Santa Barbara and hangs out with us. We take him to the zoo. The other day we said, Oliver, what's the animal you want to see today? And he said, I want to see an armadillo. Now, out of all the things in the world, why would a kid say an armadillo? And that day happened to be armadillo day. And as soon as you walked in, there was a freaking armadillo.
So
it's just like he had ESP or something.
You. It's funny because your life is this, you have a series of profound, you know, from obviously the OCD and all these other issues and the cab accident and the cancer. And yet on the other side, you walk in and the armadillo exhibit's going on. So it's a yin and yang.
But you should have said when you got there, I called ahead of time. And
I called the armadillo.
I made sure that they had armadillos for you.
I called the zoo, but the lion was busy.
Hey, so you were on HQ last week?
Oh, you know what? That's a whole other thing. When you're unemployed, which is what I basically am not, I just sit home and I got obsessed with this HQ game.
Yeah.
And
you play?
So I play every freaking day. I've answered 10. It's the most I've ever done.
This is the one where people, we were talking about this, we're just fanatically, it's like a live, like
it's
Jeopardy.
A phone game.
Yeah, it's a fun, but it's huge. It's taken the country by storm.
It really has. And so I see this guy, Scott Rogowski, who's the host, and I go, this guy's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So through the magic of telephones and social media, I, you know, sent him a message, and we started talking, and he said, I do it, yes?
Can I get his contact information? I would love to have him on our show.
I will get you all the information you need.
Awesome.
I said, you know, I'd love to meet you. He said, well, I do a talk show once a month in New York. Where are you going to be in April? And I said, I'm coming to your show. So at the Gramercy Theater in New York, I went on the Scott Rogowski talk show. It was Soledad O'Brien and me and a couple of rappers, and he does a monologue, and he had a comedian on. She was great. And then we went out to dinner till like 1 o'clock in the morning and hung out. And I said, can I come to the studio?
That's awesome.
I wanted to see what it was like. He goes, oh, no, they won't let you in. It'll be, you know, very private. We can't do it. So I said, okay. And then he called and he said, okay, they'll let you in.
No kidding.
So I went. And I said, can I go in the room where he does this thing? And they went, oh, absolutely not. It's top secret.
Explain for people just what it is so people know what the game is.
I don't know this.
Yeah,
I don't know this.
You don't know this?
It's an app on your phone.
It's an app
on
your phone.
And I don't even feel bad about it. There's so much stuff out there.
I know, but think about this.
I can't get everything.
You could win money every day on your phone. This thing is live every day at 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And this guy asks 12 questions.
Yeah.
And if you can answer them all. In fact, I think it's tomorrow they're giving away $300,000.
Yeah, they change the prizes from time to time. Preston, you were mentioning earlier this morning about trivia games that you have that you can't play with anybody else. It's fun. It's twice a day. It's at 3 p.m. and at 9 p.m. And Scott is a really good host. And he throws in these pop culture references that are hilarious. And he's super quick. Like, he's lightning fast.
Is it his app, by the way? Or he's just the host?
He hosted. I saw his audition tape while I was there. It was quite interesting. They auditioned a lot of people. He was great. And what I thought was, this guy is 34. same age I was when I got Double Dare. He started off as a stand-up comic. I was a stand-up comic. So I was, you know, saying our lives are...
Kindred spirits.
So yeah, he also... I'm a fan of a band called Fish, and he throws out Fish lyrics every single time.
Off the top of his head, it's amazing. So here's the deal. I was supposed to be on the other day. I didn't go in to do that, but I just wanted to meet everybody and all that kind of stuff. And he said, do you want to be on the show? And I said, I don't have to. He goes, let's do something really quick. So we rehearsed something... where he said, do you remember the opening of Double Dare? I went, you know, I'm going to ask you a question if you don't know the answer. Yeah. So he put that down, and he tied me in. He said, and then you can either do that or do what? And I was going to stick my head in and say, and take the physical challenge, and that was it. And he was going to say, I don't know why that guy's here, wrong show, and that was it. Okay? So we rehearsed it twice. Everything was going good. 45 seconds before, the guys who run the place grabbed me and said, get the hell out. We can't do this.
What?
And I thought, well, what is that about? That is really, really strange.
Yeah.
Well, I found out their money guys were in negotiations with The Rock, who's on this Wednesday to promote his movie to give away this $300,000 and to sort of have me for free as opposed to paying to be on. And I never wanted to be on. But the last minute they thought as a business decision it was wrong to have me on there. So they pulled me and, you know, such is life. Who cares? But I love this kid. And he's actually doing a talk show in Los Angeles April 23rd. And he just booked Sarah Silverman. And she's going to be on. And he's a go-getter.
He's kind of like Joel. All right, so what I don't understand is it's a show?
It's a game show.
Game show, so 15 minutes.
On your phone.
On your phone. Yeah, so it's
and he has guests?
It's like, no, he doesn't. It's normally just him. Yeah. But now they haven't been selling any advertising or anything, but now the show has taken off, and it's on in England, and it's on in a bunch of countries. They're going to sell the hell out of it.
So it'll be on more than your phone? It'll be on TV, on real entertainment?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I mean, that
it's
I don't know.
It's kind of like a personal Quizzo on your phone at home. So it's super easy to play. All you have to do is hit A, B, or C, and they give you answers, and they progressively get really difficult.
Yes.
So by the end, nobody gets all of them in a row.
Okay. All you have to do is get them right. You don't have to be first in to get them.
No.
There's not a, not a time. Right. How much time do you have to answer the trivia question?
10 seconds.
Yeah, it's fast.
10 seconds? Okay.
And you got 10 right on one of them?
10, and they only answered 12, and I thought, oh, I'm going for it that day. And then,
I'm winning.
Then they asked, you know, how many boogers were in George Washington's nose, and it's like...
old booger question.
Don't multiple people
get it right from time to time?
Yeah.
And then you split the money?
They split the money.
Okay.
Yeah.
One game they played until there was only one person left standing, and that person got $25,000.
Right.
So that was like 18 or 19 questions.
Wait, but how do you know this? You can... I guess you follow along.
So
the technology is amazing. He could sit there and tell you who's won, and I mean, it's cool what they've come up with.
That game started off with like 11 million people, and then it was whittled down to one, and that's how progressively difficult the questions get.
Yeah. I'm looking at a screenshot of this,
there it is.
I guess, of how it plays. Yeah. Look at all the comments on the bottom. Yeah. Why are those even there? You can't read them. They just zip right by.
You swipe to the left, and you don't ever see them again.
Okay.
They have these things called Savage Questions, where there'll be a million people there, and I'll ask a question, and 600,000 people will get it wrong, and so they do a whole thing with that. But it's fun. It's entertaining. And
okay.
I'm always in, you know, here's where I'm at. It's payback time. I'm trying to help people further their careers along.
Right.
If I can help this kid, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, Scott Rogalski kind of reminds me of Joel McHale a little bit.
Like a little bit. I see that.
He's really fast. He's entertaining, and he's a good host.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Anything coming your way as far as, because with your love of, you know, game shows and hosting that, do you have any desire if something were to come to you that...
Oh, I do it, but my phone ain't ringing anymore. I'm doing a thing in San Francisco, June 1, 2, 3, called Clusterfest, which is basically, it's sponsored by Comedy Central and Mountain Dew, of all things. And it's mostly comedy and music, but for some reason, we're recreating an hour Double Dare show. And they're going to shoot a little special around it for Comedy Central, and I'm going up there and doing that. So that thing never goes away.
It's they just in syndication, the Goldbergs Double Dare episode ran, and that's going to run constantly.
Yes, that pays very nice. Those residual checks
was
are
it good?
Insane.
Yeah, because by the way, what you forget a lot of times, he'll incorporate people that were in, for example, the kids who were the contestants with Adam at that time were the adults.
Yes,
the producers soliciting in the show. And it all ties together. Now, obviously, you were in real time, so they couldn't have you as you.
Right.
You know, just through video. But that has to be cool. So, and did you talk to Adam at all?
I did, and thanked him and, had a brief conversation. He also seemed rather uncomfortable.
we have him on the show. He is that nerd, and he's a wonderful guy.
Yeah.
He really is, and his love of all in that time frame. Every episode has something where you go, oh my God, I can't believe they're talking about this. They even talked about this great cheesesteak place in Jersey Donkeys.
I heard the place is like crowded as hell now.
Yeah, and we discussed it, you know, a couple months before. Yeah,
I couldn't wait to see that episode.
Yeah.
It just made me laugh. No, I'm just having fun. I was in New York last week. I did Scott's show. I did a show at 54 Below, doing like a talk show meets Broadway thing. There was a Podfest Saturday in New York I did. So I'm just kind of running around. I'm doing a corporate date here on Friday. I'm just enjoying my life, you know?
That's cool. Well, that's good. And the health is good. It's good to see that. And you look happy,
keep
damn
it going.
It.
Yeah, I'm happy. When I'm with you guys, I'm always happy. thank you so much.
Well, we're excited that you decided to come by here today and get in touch with us. That's cool, man. We love seeing you.
I love seeing you guys as well. You be well. And next time, hopefully, I have big announcements.
All right. Yeah.
All right, let's hear from Mark Summers.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Great to see you. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a second. Stay with us because we're going to have Travis Konecny of the Flyers getting ready for the playoffs and our friends from the Philly, the Dietz and Watson Real Philly Deli Face-Off are here. We have tons of amazing food. So we have Linden Italian Specialties, Marinucci's Deli, Foresta's. Sonny's Italian Deli at his corner store. And you can actually vote for them in Philly Mag. Go to phillymag.com/RPD and cast your vote. We'll be back in a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love diamond engagement ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thank you, Kathy. I would like to ask for your assistance, dear friends. I'm headed back again for this wonderful event called Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. It's in conjunction with Laurel House, which is a fantastic organization, and they're a shelter for women who are the victims of domestic violence, and they also help out against sexual assault, gender violence, all kinds of things. And it's not just a place where women can stay. You can get counseling, you can help, you can get support. So this event they've been doing for the last few years, and Steve and a few others from the show have joined, Nick as well, is coming up on Cinco de Mayo. It is going to be on May 5th. And I would like you to join my team. We have a link on PrestonandSteve.com. If you can join my team, that would be wonderful. I would love to have you walk with us. We had the biggest team of the whole crew last year. Excited about that. And my friend Tina, who is at the Laurel House, got in touch with me and said that it is a bit of a slow sign-up start this year.
Wow.
Yeah, so I want to goose that. I want to get things rolling. And here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to put a challenge. We're starting to see more and more fire departments get on board.
Yes.
And last year we had a couple of great ones, Gilbertsville and Barron Hill. They both got signed up. You got all these burly firemen walking in their high heels. And we walk a mile. It seems like 10 miles, but we walk a mile because you're wearing high heels. But it is actually a really, really fun event. So I would like to see more of the fire departments get in. I want to see my local fire department, Harleysville. Get in touch, and I'm calling you guys out, all right? I want you guys to be a part of this. We have a great time. They bring the trucks out. They open them up. Kids get to take a look at them. They give a little tour of them all. And we're starting to get police departments on board as well, which is really, really cool, too. So it's really a wonderful show of support of men that we're looking out for the ladies in our lives and the ladies that aren't in our lives who need our help, some women who don't have somebody to help them out in their lives. We are there for them. And that's what this event is about. It's about standing up for women who can't stand up for themselves. And like I said before, you put on the shoes. It's goofy, kind of fun. But as you're walking around and it's uncomfortable, it's just a way to go, okay, there's pain out there. And we'd like to show that that we're here to support you. So.
And then before you know it, it starts to feel really good.
It can. You never know.
You say, hey, why not? For a penny and for a pound.
You may find things out about yourself that you never knew before.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've said this before, but if you're in a fraternity, you should consider doing this. Most fraternities are required to do some type of philanthropic effort every semester. And this is a fun way to get out. You can do it with all your brothers and go out, fulfill those requirements, and actually learn a little bit about what this great organization does as well.
Hey, it's in Collegeville, so Ursinus.
There you go.
You're right out that
way. Calling you out.
Yeah. Who are your brothers?
Sigma Rho Lambda.
All right. Let's get them on board. I would love to see you guys do it. So Pfizer's Collegeville campus is where this is going to be. It's on Arcola Road in Collegeville. Nick has posted the link on PrestonSteve.com. Join my team. Create your own team. Fire departments get on board. Police departments get on board. And let's do this whole thing. The Lansdale police are participating, and they have a great social media post about it. They have police officers, tough, brave, and strong. And then it says, and great legs. And there it shows them
that's true.
Wearing their high heels. So let's get on board and do this. I would love to have you be a part of this whole event. What did I want to mention? I saw this story. Aha.
Ah, you're the sorer.
No. So we're going to talk to Travis Konecny in about 10 minutes, so we got a little time to kill.
All right.
I'm the sawer. No, I did see this.
It's a subcategory.
But apparently, according to this particular study, scientists at the University of York have found that eyebrows are how we first learned to communicate.
Wow, I'm effed.
Yeah.
You don't have any eyebrows.
No eyebrows.
Yeah, some.
I don't think I don't think it necessarily means the hair. I think our
the
brow.
Movement? So the movement of the brow?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that they made sounds.
No, they don't.
Hi.
I think your eyes just said something to me.
Your eyebrow.
Okay, so a furrowed brow, an excited brow, that sort of thing is the first way we learn. No, but that makes sense.
Even
animals communicate that way.
You know what? Our puppies, our dogs that we have, the male Rook has a little bit more of a Yorkie look than Haley. She's got another mix in her, but he has really big what Carter, my son, calls eyebrows.
Yeah.
And he can turn those into sad eyebrows or excited eyebrows.
Yeah.
And it's really, I think that's why dogs, more so than cats, and I've always been a cat person.
Yeah, yeah.
But dogs have more expressive brows and so forth and can give you the puppy dog look.
Yeah, dog look, yeah.
And they can actually express in their face a little bit more. And I think it might be because of those, the eyebrows. And that's why we feel like they can understand exactly what you're saying.
The saying is eyebrows are the window of the dog.
Eyebrows are the window of the dog. Researchers say that eyebrows were also extremely important because they made it possible for humans to work together.
Listen, we all have eyebrows. Let's work together.
The study co-author, Dr. Penny Spickens, I kid you not, that's the name. Or maybe it's Spikens.
I say your hair looks lovely this morning, Miss Spickens.
Spickens man.
Said eyebrows are the missing part of the puzzle.
They are the missing part of the puzzle.
Of how modern humans managed to get on so much better with each other than other now extinct hominins.
Yeah.
So, you know what it doesn't say in this is why.
It's why anyone would waste their time studying this.
No, it doesn't explain why eyebrows.
I think because
help us communicate.
It's natural facial expressions.
Yeah.
So that it's instinctive. The reaction. I mean, you don't need to learn how to recoil in horror. You don't need to learn how to, you know, like a quizzical look.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, easily. Yeah. Just by furrowing your brow,
right,
a little bit can do that. You know who would be all over this is Ashley Marie Gallo.
Yes, she's the brow queen.
The eyebrows are the most essential part of, and she's from our Totally Office calendar, for those who don't know.
She's got many essential parts.
She paid for two of them. Two of them are awesome.
Follow her on Instagram.
Oh, my
God. Once you get past it. Now, mind you, follow her for the eyebrows, stay for the Ashley.
Right.
Yeah. I don't follow her. I should.
You should.
Oh, dear God.
Look at her Easter outfit.
Her Easter outfit.
What did you say, Steve?
He has risen, and so have I.
So have I for her Easter picture. Ashley Marie Gallo. But that's what she does. She's all about eyebrow.
Yeah, she actually has a salon that is dedicated to eyebrows.
And she's doing well. It's like a high-tech place, and the like for brides and stuff like that, she does phenomenal stuff.
I was there by accident.
I didn't know.
Yeah, sure.
No, it's right. No,
yeah,
it's right
Mr. Big Brows.
No. It's right next door to this bakery that we go to and get all kinds of stuff when we were there. And
did you go in?
Well, it wasn't open. It was on the weekends, but I took a picture of it and I sent it to her. Dude. And I'm like, look where I am.
What, that's okay. An Easter outfit?
Yeah, right? Yes.
There's her Easter outfit.
Looks like a little bunny.
Sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Jesus Christ. Exactly. He has risen.
And so have I. All right, anyhow, eyebrows are important. It's how we first learn to communicate, according to this author's study. Our next guest is already ready to go. He's early. I love that. How sweet is
that? That's why they're winners.
I'm telling you, man, the Flyers are about ready to head into the playoffs. We're excited about it. I'm going to play this little clip, and I'm going to welcome our guest.
Here's a great scoring play! Oh, what a play by Travis Konecny! Might have been the best individual effort of the year.
This is highlight reel.
What a singular effort. My goodness.
Is this the video you just showed me of that goal?
Yes, it is.
Dear Lord, it was against Boston a couple of weeks ago, and it's pretty, you can't stop watching it. Let's stop messing around.
Let's go, Flyers!
And let's welcome to the show, center for the Flyers, Travis Konecny.
Yay!
Hey, Travis, how you doing, man?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Doing good. So I guess you knew what goal we were talking about as we were playing that clip, right?
Yeah, I clued in once I heard the commentator. I remember what he was saying.
Is that one of the sexier ones that you, in your personal opinion, that you've been able to put in the net?
Yeah, I would say so. I can't say, I necessarily knew what I was doing. It kind of just came down to it.
Well, it's instinct, right, at this point. I mean, you've been playing long enough, and that's you want that stuff to kick in. And, you know, sometimes you ever stop and say, oh, my God, that was really good.
Well, yeah, by the time I made it to the glass and I was celebrating with the rest of the guys, I realized that I just did something pretty nice.
Right.
While I was doing it, I had no idea what I was doing.
You know what? That's a good point, Travis, because some goals you see and they're laser precision. They're, okay, I'm going to go upper left corner, and you know it because that's just where you feel that you're going to have a hole. And then others, I guess, are sometimes are just, I'm going to throw this at the net. Maybe get a rebound, see what happens. Would you say that that's, is it like 50-50 or 60-40 or a percentage on some of those?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to describe because, a lot of times, unless you're getting a good look on the goal, you're not actually shooting, for an exact spot. Like sometimes if you get the puck in the slot, you're just, shooting to a general area. Most guys at this level know exactly where the net is.
Yeah.
It's tough to pick your corners on these guys. You just got to hope that the goal is moving and, you're putting it in the right spots.
Yeah. How about deflections? If you've got a guy there at the goal and do you know if he's going to try for that deflection or here's a better question. Have you had one? It was headed right for the hole and damn it. He knocked it out of the way. You son of a bitch.
Yeah. I have had a few of those, but, honestly, it's almost better. Like in the NHL, I think for the most part, goals are scored by deflection. So I would say, over 50% of the time for sure, you're shooting for a stick. Or if it is on that, you hope a guy gets a stick on it. Like if a defender's shooting it from the blue line, I'm trying to tip it every time.
Yeah,
but with that play against the
it's hard to read
that play against the Bruins. I mean, you made a couple of great moves to get to the goal. And then you were able to punctuate it with, putting the ball.
the puck.
What do they call that ball? That's
the
flat ball.
But putting the puck in the net. How many times have you made those moves, but you don't get that punctuation mark? That was the capper of the whole thing. But, throughout an 82-game season, I'm sure you've made a lot of great moves that just didn't, pan out the way that one goal did.
Yeah, honestly, you're not going to finish off those, one time out of 10. It's just like, once you get to that spot when you actually have an opportunity to put it on net, for the most part, the goalie's had an opportunity to set himself up and get ready for it. But yeah, you usually don't get a chance to finish those ones off. And I honestly can't even really talk about it. I don't know.
It's your gift. It's what you do. Yeah. There's no reason to dissect it. Just keep doing it. I have to ask you, and this is going to sound like a stupid question, but it's an important thing to me right now. Do you play air hockey? Have you played air hockey? And are you good at it?
Yeah, I used to with my brother all the time. I haven't in a while.
Are you good at it?
I would like to think so. I don't know if you ask anyone else. I don't know what they'd say.
Because I suspect that, you know, some of the same chops that make you so good at what you do professionally would be involved with that. And I guess my end question is, if I become good at air hockey, can I be an NHL star myself?
I don't see why not.
Okay, thank you. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell my wife so we can get one for the garage.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Travis said I could.
Yeah. He's looking at him for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Hey,
Travis, we've been friends with Drew for a long time. We've had him on the show many times, but this is the first time we've had you on. So I reached out to Claude, and I wanted to know if there was anything we could ask you when we had you on. So I said, is there any questions we could ask you? And he said, this is a direct quote, ask him if it's true that I run his show, because I do.
Wow.
And I'm wondering what that means.
You're laughing.
I hear it every day.
Okay.
It's more or less just, anything we do, he thinks he's better, whether it's, you know, in the gym, golf course, ping pong, like whatever it is. And he just always says, just sit down and watch me kick.
Listen to this. G is so good that he got someone else to bust your balls for him on the radio right now. That's how good he is.
You know what you can beat him on, though? Speak English without an accent.
There you go.
I never
thought of that one.
Hey, you do your share of talking on the ice. Is that... do you have insults or jibes or things ready to go before you head out, or do they just happen in the moment?
No, I don't even know if what I say is an insult or just,
really?
Honestly, sometimes guys look at me and just say, you shouldn't even
you're a stinky head.
Yeah. I don't know. I get caught in the moment, and I don't know. I try my hardest, but my chirps aren't very good.
Oh, man. I can imagine, but it might be a distraction if somebody turns around and goes, that's an insult.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Or when your teammate says, come on, man.
You're highly unmotivated.
What? Yeah.
So, listen, I've been talking with my brothers a lot about, you know, towards the end of the season, if and when the Flyers make the playoffs, who do we want to play in the first round? And really doesn't matter because you have to get through the best to get to the finals or the Eastern Conference finals or whatever. But you start off with the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. Is that better? Is that worse? Does it matter to you guys that you're going up against the Penguins?
Honestly, I don't think we really cared who it was. Because you can't really care. You don't have an option. So, like, the way we looked at it is exactly what you guys said. If we're going to go far in the playoffs, then, you know, you're going to have to beat these teams eventually. So, it gave us a good opportunity to challenge ourselves right away. These guys have been playing us good all year, but they've also won the Cup 2 years in a row, so somebody's got to beat them.
Yeah.
So, the mindset, going back to the Eagles and their Super Bowl victory, and everybody seems to agree that it sounds as if you just have fun playing the game. That's what you're there for. You don't sweat that stuff and just go in and do it. Is that a methodology that works best for you guys rather than, you know, getting caught up in the minutia of all this?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's you can't overthink it. You just got to, like, it's tough, and especially, like, for the young guys, too. Like, I've never been in the playoffs before, so, you know, I'm excited. And you know, you hear so many things about the playoffs, and it's a totally different game, but you just can't sweat these things. You just got to, you know, treat it like it's another game. Don't change anything that you've been doing.
Yeah.
And we know who we're up against, right? You know you're going to see Crosby, you're going to see Malkin and Kessler, and you just can't overthink that stuff. You just, you just treat it like it's a regular season game, you know, other than, you know what's at stake, but you can't change anything. So that's the biggest thing, I think, that some guys try to overdo it when it gets to playoff time.
Yeah.
You know, maybe try to switch the game a little bit. So.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have been, it started with, training camp, and you played in 81 games. You know, I'm looking at your stats here, and obviously, you're going to say that the most important thing for you is getting a win for the team.
But of all of these stats, and I'm just going to throw a couple of these things out for you, because you're 21 years old. You played in 81 games out of 82 games. That's a lot of games. You had 24 goals, 23 assists, you know, for a total of 47 points, 97 hits, 53 blocks, and you were plus 17 for the season. So if you had to pick out one of those stats, what's the most important stat, do you think, for yourself?
For myself, individually, I think I'd probably go with the plus-minus one.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a stat that a lot of people don't see. You know, it's something I wanted to work on, because last year I believe I finished minus two. And, you know, some of the things that I had talked about with Hexy and Hack in my exit meetings last year was just, you know, becoming more of a complete player and you know, trying to round out my game that way, play 200-foot game. And I think that, you know, I was able to accomplish that this year. And you know, but it also doesn't hurt when I was playing with Coots and G there. Like, a lot of times that you're going to be getting pluses with those guys. So.
Yeah, I was at the game on Saturday, and to be honest, as a fan, when we got there, everybody was a little bit nervous. We knew that a win and you guys were in the playoffs, and if you lost, you would have to sort of rely on what Florida might do that night or on Sunday. And then to come out and beat the crap out of the Rangers 5-0, and to get for Drew to get that hat trick was awesome. It allowed the game to be a lot of fun for us. I imagine it was a cool way for you guys to wrap up the regular season as well.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. It was so much fun, and I don't think we could have did it any other way. Just, you know, it was kind of a statement for us heading into the playoffs, and, you know, it was awesome for G to finish it out that way, like get his 100 points and, you know, finish with a hat trick. It was actually funny because the game before, G had put another good game, and I came into the rink that day, and I said, all right, G, you had your night. Tonight's my night. Leave it alone.
That's pretty badass. Yeah,
and then he goes out and throws a hat trick down. He, you know, again, he just says,
he's running your show.
just watch it. Just take care of your stuff, kid.
Which you should have pulled him aside and you should have said, I don't think you heard what I said.
Hey, Travis, what do you go by nickname wise on the team?
Most people just call me TK.
Okay. TK. Okay. Yeah,
there's nothing to it. Just my initials.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, because if your last name ends with a Y, that's the hockey standards. They throw an E on the end of your name, a Y type of ending on it, but you've already got it, so TK.
Yeah, it's already built in, so they just call it TK, yeah.
All right, I think it should be Konechny.
Yeah, so you have a massive stutter.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the schedule between now and game time? You guys got a couple of practices to get set?
Yeah, we're just getting ready, actually, now. We're heading out to, I believe, the game rink. We're heading there, do a couple practices, and then probably some video and just, you know, prepare ourselves. I'm not too sure. It's my first time being in this game.
It's very cool, though, man. But I think the idea of just you know, having fun and playing the way you're playing is what's going to serve you best.
Hey, yeah. Is your family coming out? Are they going to be at every game if they can? Or?
I don't believe so. I think they'll just watch from home.
Okay. Where is home?
Farthest drive, but home's Clacton, Ontario. It's a little village back home, but it's close to London and Chatham. So.
Okay. That's cool, man. Well, listen, we wish you luck. Obviously, we're excited about the excited about the playoffs in general, but hoping you guys will shut down the naysayers and continue what you're doing, because you guys have been playing great hockey. So
yeah,
and it's nice talking to you, Travis. Hopefully we'll touch base again soon. All right.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Take care, brother. All right, TK, guys. Nice guy.
He is a nice guy. I'd love to get him in the studio.
Absolutely. Love to do that. I think she wanted to say hi to Travis.
No, I think she was saying hi.
It's Ashley Gallo.
Oh, it's Ashley. It didn't say Gallo on there.
Yes, it is.
Hi, Ashley.
Hey, guys.
We were just talking about eyebrows.
I heard. I've been doing a lot more lately.
I'm
actually going to be expanding, too.
Oh, you're expanding your operation there, which is very high-tech. But we were saying that I follow you on Instagram, and the eyebrow stuff is very cool and bizarrely interesting. But it's the Ashley Gallo stuff that really sells your Instagram account, especially things like your Easter outfit,
picture, yeah,
which caused many resurrections.
How's your Easter egg over with your family?
Wait, I actually had something really funny. I literally went to Easter dinner and brunch dressed like that, and my friends were like, Ashley, did you really go there dressed like that? And I said, yes. They're like, I can't. They're like, and I was like, my grandpa comes up to me, and he's like, Ashley, he's like, I literally thought for a second you were nude. He's like, I didn't know what to think. And I'm like, no, Papa. I'm like, it's floor.
Don't you dare listen to them.
It's kind of a flesh-colored outfit slightly in that photo. No, Pop-Pop.
No, it was. It's awesome. And I'll even watch. She'll do the thing where she's in the car singing along to a song.
Yeah.
And normally, I'll be like, oh, Jesus Christ. But it's like, oh, Ashley's singing a new song.
Yes. And Ashley, I'm sorry I missed you. I came by your eyebrow shop not long ago.
I'm so sad I wasn't there. I was doing a wedding that day.
Yeah. And by the way, do me a favor. The bakery next door, what's the name?
Creeble's Bakery.
That's it.
So what?
And they're expanding, and you're expanding. So we found out about that.
We're all expanding if you follow after.
Colleen told me about the little bikini that she was talking about, and I was cracking up about it.
What's this now?
She's talking about a fondue bikini to put on me and then come in. Yes.
She wanted to make a fondue. Tell her that she'll get her in studio appearance if she comes by and makes a fondant bikini for you. Would you wear one here in our studio?
I don't know if I could do it.
Are you kidding me?
I feel like I'm in like such boss mood now. I just, you know.
Yeah, a boss would wear that same outfit.
Yeah.
I like to dress sexy, but, you know.
Ashley, what's the name of your business?
AMG Beauty Bar.
And what you do is if you follow her on Instagram, which you should, you see like a lot of brides and people who have special events coming up, and you do these this eyebrow. What is it called, the process?
Microblading.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. But, you know, hell, it seems like if you're expanding, everything's going swimmingly well.
Yes, it is. I'm keeping my group nice and tight.
All right.
Group, and that's it.
All right.
God.
Right?
If I talk to you guys, I'll have to come in and see you guys in person.
Preston's actually looking at your Instagram site, right?
I'm looking at something from September of last year. Where were you vacationing? You're in a bikini.
I must have been in Miami.
Miami, that's it.
Yeah, Ashley, I go to Costa Rica soon in Italy, so just be prepared for those pictures.
We're going to get you a whole bunch of new followers.
She's prepping us.
Yes,
she's crazy. She's got like... Your dimensions don't even seem real to me. I'm looking at this. Steve, I told you her body reminds me of like a superhero, female superhero.
She looks like a Marvel comic superhero.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's not how humans really
look.
We need
to get you into cosplay.
Yeah.
That's okay. The image I tried to shoot for. What do I
say? We know you're a big comic book nerd. We can tell.
Eyebrows are her superpower.
I actually really do like that stuff.
All right.
Nice.
We'll get you in here then.
All right. Well, it's lovely to talk to you, Dia.
Have a great day, guys.
All right, we'll see you later, Ashley.
Oh, your pop-up. We said hi.
Yeah, hi, pop-up.
Dear God. She's my little girl's naked.
Yeah. All right, anyhow. Real quick, I want to remind you guys, we had some great food here from Dietz and Watson. They brought in some fantastic food from delis competing in the 2018 Real Philly Deli Face-Off. Shout out to Anna's Corner Store in East Norton for bringing us the Zep.
Yes.
You can vote for your favorite at phillymag.com. And I also need to mention the Junkyard was brought in from Sonny's Italian Deli. That's in Rofo, Royersford. And also Addie's Hot Chicken Hoagies from Marinucci's Deli there in the Northeast. And also the gang at the Linden Italian, or they brought in the Linden Italian Club. And that was from, Linden Italian Specialties in the Northeast. And Smokestack from Foresta's in Phoenixville. All these fantastic specialty sandwiches made with Dietz and Watson real meats and cheeses.
I don't know how you could pick a winner from that lot. I mean, the spread out there is phenomenal.
Yeah. So you can vote for your favorite at phillymag.com/RPD. So we encourage that you do that. We got to take a break. We're going to come back in a second. I got some B-File stories on the way. You don't want to miss them. We'll be right back.
Jackson's Jeep Club and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram present MMR's Mudder's Day 2018. Get dirty and get your Jeep on at Bridgeport Speedway, Sweetsboro, New Jersey, Saturday, May 12th. $15 per vehicle gets you in and a go at one of the custom dirt obstacle courses. Hundreds of Jeeps, Jeep parts to win, MMRBQ tickets, food trucks, and did we mention
mud.
Join us for a great day. We'll get dirty with our Jeeps. We'll have cool prizes and vendors on site, too, like DHY Motorsports, ExtremeTerrain.com, and more.
MMR's Mudder's Day with Jackson's Jeep Club at Bridgeport Speedway. Tickets on sale now. WMMR.com for complete details. From Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we're selling excitement. And 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Looking at video footage of this tractor trailer that fell over with the kegs, did it fall from the the overpass?
Yeah, because it's just decimated.
Was it, anybody hurt?
So let me see here. I just read a little bit about it. So
because if not, I want to scream free beer. But if the guy's hurt,
there's no word on injuries at this time.
Free beer. Yeah. No, it's I don't know if those are full or not. But
so it fell from the ramp onto 95.
Dear God.
Whoa.
It was traveling southbound on the park and ride exit ramp when it fell onto 95 northbound between Woodhaven and Street Road.
So I don't see how the driver's not injured by that.
Yeah, it's completely on its side and crushed.
Yeah.
And they said that the crash did involve at least another vehicle, so.
Whoa. And yeah, that could flatten one underneath. Okay, all right. Well, we'll monitor that and see what happens. We have the Bizarre File. Let's do that right now.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning's brought to you by Todd B. Jacobs Personal Injury Law Firm, getting you the compensation you deserve or you don't pay. 267-687-0379. That's tbjacobslaw.com. An ex-cage fighter in the UK was caught in possession of a shotgun after he blasted himself in the groin and had to have a testicle removed.
Oh, my God.
According to a court hearing, Scott Benjamin was rushed to the hospital for surgery after he suffered the self-inflicted wound in the bedroom of a house last year.
Didn't know it would hurt.
Police were called after reports of a disturbance and found Benjamin trying to smash a window with a bed. Officers had to break down the door to the upstairs bedroom where he had barricaded himself in. Benjamin was discovered under a mattress in a pool of blood with two sawed-off shotguns nearby. He claimed that he suffered the injury, which led to him losing his testicle, at the hands of a gang of eight masked men who burst into the property. But prosecutors have dismissed his version of events.
Six masked men.
As complete nonsense. The court was told that officers forced entry into the house armed with tasers and protective shields. Benjamin was found lying unsuccessfully to manhandle the base of a bed through a smashed upstairs window. Used cartridges were also discovered, and a fingerprint of the defendant was uncovered on one of the weapons. An officer said
Come in here, I'll blow my nuts off.
The officer said that he looked very confused, as if under the influence of drugs, or it may have been shock. The defendant claims hooded armed men had forced him to touch their guns and ammunition and wounded him while shooting out windows at the address he claimed. And he had claimed to have known one or two of the intruders from their build and the sound of their voices, but refused to name them.
This story sounds completely believable.
Following hospital treatment, he told a police officer, "I don't know why they say I shot myself. I didn't. Somebody shot me. I was set up." Following the shooting, the wounded man barricaded himself in the room, began throwing things out his window in a bid to attract passersby. The court heard how Benjamin had been on cocaine and alcohol binge the day before the shooting.
Wait a second, Preston. That might have affected his judgment.
It's possible. So that trial continues. This is a sad story. U.S. Navy veteran who served in the Vietnam War was killed Saturday morning in what appears to be a home cooking accident. Food was cooking in 70-year-old T.C. One Year's detached garage the night before, ahead of a family gathering that was set to take place on Saturday. The next morning, One Year went to check on the food, and he was apparently carrying a candle into the garage. And when he opened the door, there was an explosion. It blew the doors, including the main garage door, off of the building.
What happened?
One Year was struck by the door. He opened and knocked back by the force of the explosion, subsequently striking his head on the ground. The fire completely destroyed the detached garage and melted siding on the back of his house. The initial explosion also blew out the windows in the back of the house. Pending the fire investigator's report is that there was a buildup of gas in the garage somehow or another, which was ignited by the candle, and he died at the scene. I don't know what he was cooking on or with.
That's
but apparently
horrible.
It was gas filled up and just destroyed the entire garage.
He's a veteran, and he dies.
Yeah, cooking
something so bizarre,
beef or something. Officials at a South Carolina resort are looking for the people who harassed an 11-foot alligator by throwing carrots at him, calling the action a new level of stupid. The Fripp Island Resort Activity Center posted about the harassment Friday on its Facebook page.
Don't forget, 2 o'clock, the alligator harassment party.
Naturalist Jessica Miller says the people were lucky because the large alligator didn't respond and later slid back into the water.
Everyone have their carrot sticks?
The Facebook post says Fripp Island has a description of the people who threw carrots.
Yeah, you don't screw around on Fripp Island.
And the fine is $200 per carrot thrown. Violators could also face up to 30 days in jail for feeding alligators if convicted.
We're seeing a picture here of a carrot on top of the alligator. Disgraceful.
Wildlife experts say that most attacks occur when humans feed, poke, or swim near alligators. That's why it's illegal.
I would think that alligators probably don't eat carrots.
I'm thinking not. Yeah.
Judging by their huge teeth.
Okay, now, I'm not sure what to think about this particular story, but I love it, and I hope that it's true.
We'll just say it is. If it's fun, we just accept that it's true.
Two kids disguised as a tall man in a trench coat.
I saw this.
Attempted to get a customer at a convenience store to buy them beer.
The old on-the-shoulder trench coat thing? Oh, please, please, please let it be real. Was there a big bushy mustache attached to the
whole? I hope so, man.
This might be a trend because I saw something similar weeks ago about these kids trying to get into an R-rated movie.
I saw that one.
They, you know, had the trench coat and everything. Yeah.
Would you not? Isn't that one of the bucket list things you want to see live in front of you is somebody actually trying to pull that off?
Even though it's illegal, I would have had to have sold them the liquor.
I mean, it's right out of the Little Rascals. Marcus Rinaldi wrote that he saw the boyish-looking fellow Thursday in the Loop Neighborhood Market.
So when the money came out, did it come out from where his zipper was?
He said that it was easy to tell that one of the youths was perched upon the other shoulders. Now, it gets even better.
Okay.
When he left the store, Rinaldi said he was followed out by the man who asked Rinaldi to buy him beer. And why he couldn't buy it himself? Well, because he had left his ID at the detective agency where he worked.
Look at, here's a picture, Preston.
That's the, from the movies.
That's the movie one, yeah.
That's the movies.
Oh, it's just fantastic. So I don't know if it was true or not, but I like to believe that it is.
It's so good.
I attempted to do that with somebody, and when I saw myself in the mirror, I started laughing so hard that I started peeing, and then we fell over, and I full on relieved myself on the back of this dude's head.
This was your story?
Yes.
Oh, that we were talking about people laughing and peeing at the same time, and you actually peed on somebody for laughing. I didn't know it was because of the trench coat bit.
Yes.
What was the commercial where the kid?
Oh my God.
Remember, it was a TV commercial. It was about a year ago, 2 years ago, where they're in the store attempting to do that, and it's just hilarious.
No.
Oh, man.
You can't help but crack up.
All right. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. It is Tuesday, friends, and we have been distributing ink as the show has been going on this morning. And we'd like to welcome listener Gerard, who is here.
Hey, nice how you guys see you. Doing?
Good, Gerard. Thanks for coming in. And we want to do a special thanks to our tattoo artist who was up really late and got up really early for this event. This is Kyle Fitzpatrick.
Yeah!
From Philadelphia Eddies. Kyle, thanks for making it in, man.
Oh, thanks so much.
We appreciate it. All right, so we had a quick conversation with Gerard because he is a big comic book fan. Yeah. And so tell us about your tattoo.
Yeah, I just got the Black Panther mask on my on my shoulder here, and it's got the little PNS in the cheeks there. And
I love it.
It's pretty dope.
It's great because it also has some sort of tribal elements around it too, which is very cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Black Panther outfit is a badass outfit. It's right up there with Iron Man, and it's definitely one that it just looks so cool.
I think of the movies, it's my favorite one.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's pretty cool. I'm still an Iron Man, fanatic, but that's pretty awesome.
Nice. How many times have you been out to see the movie? More than once?
Yeah.
How many times?
It's been 5 times so far.
It's so good. You came off of Thor Ragnarok, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is, I know you're freaking out for Infinity Wars, and that's just a couple weeks.
Kyle, are you into this stuff at all? You into
I am, a little bit.
Did you see Black Panther yet? All right, you got to get out and see it.
I will.
Were you a comic book collector?
Yeah. I actually collect a lot of comic books. I had a pretty decent sized. I had some of the original Black Panthers. Nice. I was a big Wolverine fan, like everyone was. And yep. Then I also got into all the secondary stuff like Spawn.
Spawn is great.
Much anything that had a black character in it, that was pretty much all about.
Well, that always killed me when Black Panther was coming out. They were saying, oh, finally a black superhero. I was saying, no. There have been a whole bunch of them.
Exactly. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Bishop was always one of my
Absolutely.
Favorites.
Blade.
Spawn, Blade. Yep.
Luke Cage.
There's a lot of great characters.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. And we were just talking off air about these movies. It is a great time to be alive.
Oh, my God.
They're cranking them out, and they're doing a great job at it. Where are you from, by the way, Gerard?
I'm originally from New York City, but I've been here in Philadelphia for the last 15 years.
Nice. So. And what do you do in the area?
I am a project manager by day and a Twitch streamer by night. So broadcast myself playing video games.
Oh, really? What's your one of our calendar girls this year is on Twitch a lot and does a couple of those sites and awesome. And she's a hardcore gamer. So what do you play primarily?
I primarily actually play a lot of classic games. Last night I spent playing Legend of Zelda Link to the Past.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
I play Super Mario Brothers, and then I play some new stuff, but I like the classic stuff.
Did you read Ready Player One yet?
Yes, I've had that. I haven't had a chance to see the movie yet. One of my friends and I are supposed to go seeing
it. It's not the same as the book, so just give you a heads up. Don't expect that going in, but, I mean, there is a lot of nods to classic games in it, which is cool.
Do you know it's a game I'm addicted to now, and they reissued it. It's called Shadow of the Colossus, and there are these huge lumbering... creatures that have buildings on them, and they're moving along, and it's you have to ascend them and take them down and kill them.
Wow!
But it is the graphics and the whole Preston. It has a Zelda-esque Lara Croft element to it that's really cool.
I love it, Kyle. By the way, how often are superheroes getting put on tattoos?
Pretty frequently.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah,
it's got to be a popular category,
yeah,
right?
It definitely is, especially with like the realism. Tattoos that I've seen at conventions often.
Like the photorealistic?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. What's your specialty?
I do a lot of like black work illustrative tattoos,
mm-hmm.
You know, classic designs.
What is the one that you get called on to do the most?
I would say clipper ships.
Okay.
Pretty like popular still, you know.
Huh.
Real I don't even know what a clipper ship is. What is it?
An old like style old
sailor.
Sailors. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Gerard, anybody want to say hi to while you're here? Got the mic?
Well,
I mean, you do it on your
everybody
podcast.
Everybody in Wakanda?
I have to say, yes. Wakanda forever.
Yeah. Do it.
Wakanda forever. I'd like to say shout out to all my coworkers I work with. I told you I'd get this tattoo done. I got it done.
Nice.
And my Twitch family, thanks for supporting me. I've got a big charity event I'm doing, so I'm just excited.
Plug the charity event. Go ahead.
Sure. So I do a lot of fundraising for Alex's Lemonade Stand. So in June, I am doing a 24-hour game-a-thon. So me and about 10 of my friends, we're going to be playing video games for 24 hours straight to raise money for Alex's Lemonade Stand. We did this last year. We raised $3,000.
Whoa.
So we're trying to raise $5,000-plus this year.
Nice.
Very nice. Elizabeth Rose is the calendar girl who does it as well. You should talk to her and link up because it's cool. Preston, how often? To your kids watching, on Twitch.
All the time. Absolutely. Cool, man. Well, good luck to you. Thanks for coming by here. And Kyle, we appreciate you being here, too.
Oh, thanks.
Philadelphia Eddies 621 is where you can find PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com. So thank you, guys. And we'll post pictures of the tattoo. Very, very cool looking. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a second. We got some more stuff for you to win with the lesson question that is coming up, as well as trash and music news. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dorothy. Take me down to the bottom. Fozzy. Stone Temple Pilots.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Looking like a beautiful day today. Hey, we have a trip to Vegas, man. Las Vegas. And we give it away on Friday. And this is for two people, and not only will you go to Vegas and enjoy all things Vegas, but we'll set you up with an experience for Fear the Walking Dead Survival, which is a new thrill attraction that they have And hotel, airfare, ground transportation, all that stuff is included. So we'll get the letter of the day coming up at the end of the program. Today's lesson question will net you some tickets to join both Casey Boy and Steve for the AAA 400 Drive for Autism Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race May 6th. Not only that, but we'll put you in a special suite. Where you're not going to get a better view, man. It's up high. See the whole track. It's
yeah.
Really, really cool.
It's phenomenal.
So let me see here. I didn't get a chance to look at these yet. I apologize. All right. Eyebrows are the window of the what? 215-263-WMMR. Eyebrows are the window of the what? This one wasn't that long ago either.
No.
So let's see if you recall that information, and if you can give us a buzz right now, 215-263-WMMR near the designated call to get through. Actually, just whatever caller I go to. You're going to get that prize if you know the answer. Call now.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Skull Shaver. Attention, bald guys, shave your head in less than 90 seconds and say goodbye to nicks, cuts, and scrapes with the all-new Pitbull from Skull Shaver. Use promo code BALD at skullshaver.com for exclusive discounts. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, a topless former actress with the words "Women's Lives Matter" painted on her breast charged in front of Bill Cosby yesterday as he entered the court for his sexual assault retrial. The 80-year-old comedian immediately reacted reflexively, tipping the head of his cane back, forcing two Benadryls to dispense into his hand.
He's
just always ready.
It's like the James Bond.
Yeah, wow. like a what is it, a Pez?
Yeah.
Real Housewives of New York star Bethany Frankel boasting during an interview that she once had a date with Meghan Markle's ex-husband. Frankel also revealed she was recently three people behind Eddie Redmayne's dog walker at a froyo. And finally, Kylie Jenner gushing that boyfriend Travis Scott has actually cleaned up his act since the birth of their daughter Stormy. Jenner says that since the baby's birth, she's now just one of only five women Scott has sex with. Oh. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we'll see if you know the answer. The question is, the eyebrows are the window of the what? 215-263-WMMR had to have been listening earlier to know the answer to this. Eyebrows are the windows of the what? And I will go to Ed, who happens to be on the phone line. Ed, good morning, hey, sir.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. All right. Eyebrows are the window of the what?
To the dog.
The dog, yes. Yeah. Hang on, Ed. We are going to give you some tickets in the suite to join Steve and Casey Boy, the AAA 400 Driver Autism Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race. It's coming up on May 6th. In fact, race weekend at Dover International Speedway is May 4th through the 6th. And it's 3 days of great racing and so much more. Tickets to the AAA 400 Driver Autism start at just $50 at DoverSpeedway.com. We already have a daily rush of me with the diaper on the head morning.
Yeah.
Wow. Nick just pulled it up and okay.
You just, I mean, just the still alone is worth looking at, but the video.
Yeah.
It's great.
Isn't that great? All right. So you can take a look.
Great.
And it's brought to you by Punchline Philly Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So check it out at PrestonandSteve.com. All right. Music news time.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, it's brought to you by Skull Shaver. Attention, ball guys, shave your head in less than 90 seconds and say goodbye to nicks, cuts, and scrapes with the all-new Pitbull from Skull Shaver. Use promo code BALD at skullshaver.com for exclusive discounts. Ozzy Osbourne has given up driving for good after he was involved in a minor accident on the road. His son Jack told the UK's Daily Mirror he had a little bumper kiss on the freeway with someone and was like, you know, I don't want to drive anymore. Jack said he was already driving less and less. He said, I think he is of that mindset that he'd rather not have the responsibility. He added that he was especially worried about the possibility of facing a lawsuit, even if the damage wasn't that great. He explained, think about it. Ozzy bumps someone. And it's like the next thing you know, we're going to sue for $1 billion because people are silly. His thing was more like, I don't want to be liable. He made headlines in 2010 when he rear-ended another car while driving around Los Angeles, although there were no injuries and damage was minor. So Ozzy,
yeah,
no longer behind the wheel.
Remember, he had the ATV accident a while ago, too. Almost died.
Oh, that was a bad one. Lindsey Buckingham has been fired from Fleetwood Mac. with Heartbreakers guitarist Mike Campbell and Crowded House's leader Neil Finn replacing him.
And they're both solid.
They need somebody who, yeah, the reason they I think they've gotten both is because, I mean, Lindsey Buckingham was a 1-2 punch. Great guitar player, great finger-picking guitar player, and a great singer. So you have Mike Campbell, who's a great guitarist, but probably not as good a singer as Neil Finn. So I assume that's why they're bringing both of those guys in.
I'll tell you, I love Lindsey Buckingham, but I know it's always been a tumultuous thing with Fleetwood Mac and him. Mm-hmm. And he.
Fleetwood Mac issued a flat statement which read, Lindsey Buckingham will not be performing with the band on this tour. The band wishes Lindsey all the best. Fans got the first hint of the band discord when Buckingham's late 80s replacement guitarist Billy Burnett tweeted back in April on April 4th, breaking news, Lindsey Buckingham is out and I'm not in. A little pissed off, but I'll get over it. It's all in the book, which was followed by a link to his memoirs. Seeing as how the tweet was immediately scrubbed, most diehards in the Mac community wrote it off as either a prank, a rumor, or simply wishful thinking on Burnett's part. According to a source, Buckingham did not quit the band, which is currently plotting a massive world tour. But the insider's words, he was fired. Thing is, apparently, the rumor was he wanted to work on some solo stuff.
Yeah.
But they were getting this tour ready to go, and he wanted to go the other way, and they were like, nope.
He can go his own way.
Nice. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow.
No. Okay.
Steve, I know you're a huge fan of The Dance, which came out in 1997. That
I love it.
And he has a song on there that's it's mostly Lindsey called Big Love.
It was a modest hit for him.
Yeah, and his picking, his guitar, oh my God, it's so good. And it's just, it mostly just features Lindsey's ability on the guitar, and it's just incredible. Yeah.
That album, that live album is just from beginning to end, phenomenal.
I've never seen them. I've always wanted to, and now I don't know if I want to see them without Lindsey Buckingham.
Now you're effed.
Well, it's everybody but him, so yeah. That tour is going to go on. This, I find this kind of stupid, that some people had an issue with this. When golfer Patrick Reed won the Masters on Sunday,
yeah,
commentator Nick Faldo, who's an all-time great, confused some viewers when he quoted the line, "Welcome to the new age, to the new age." And those lines are from Imagine Dragons song, Radioactive.
I know.
And it's one that Patrick Reed used for inspiration. He had been talking about it.
Yeah.
And Nick Faldo had mentioned it. So when he won, he quoted the band and he quoted the song, which I thought was pretty cool personally. But some traditionalists are up in arms and say that it ruined the moment. It distracted this great Masters moment, one of the great moments in sports.
Shut your hole.
I agree. And I think personally, down the road, Patrick Reed.
That's a golf term, by the way.
Who will look to that song as part of the reason why he won the Masters, as a nice tribute. And so some people didn't like it. But the band liked it. The band apparently thought it was a nice tribute, and they tweeted out, "Welcome to the new age, love it or hate it." Apparently, so, he listens to Radioactive to get pumped up before playing.
And his wife is his caddy?
No, not for the Masters. She had at some point in his early on in his career, she had caddied for him.
And he's estranged with his own parents, right?
Now, that I don't know.
Yeah, that's the word I heard.
Oh, not really sure.
Imagine Dragons are polarizing. I think you either like them or you don't. And people that don't like them really don't like them.
I like them.
I do, too.
I can take them or leave them.
Yeah.
I don't go one way or the other, really.
You can go your own way.
I can go
your own way.
And I will go my own way. James Hetfield has revealed that he used the wood from a garage that played an early role in the band's career to build a new guitar. And the guitar is named Carl. After 3132 Carlson Boulevard in El Cerrito, California, the band's home during its breakthrough years from 1983 to 1986.
Where did the support beam go for the garage?
During this period, the group rehearsed and wrote most of the songs for the albums Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets in the house's garage, which has since been torn down. A video is now online in which Hetfield tells the story of how Carl came to be. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
I want to see his acting debut in the...
Yes. It's in the movie about the serial killer.
I'm having a brain fart, too.
Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy.
Thank you very much.
And yes. He's playing a state trooper.
Yeah. Listen to this. Goo Goo Dolls have just announced a 27-date 20th anniversary tour in celebration of the band's 1998 album, Dizzy Up the Girl.
It's called the Too Little Too Late Tour.
The band, led by guitarist John Resnick and bassist Bobby Trakic, kicks things off on September 30th in Phoenix. They will be performing at the Fillmore on October 12th.
Listen, I was a Goo Goo Dolls fan. They had, like, they had a steady string of hit. I was a crazy fanatic for them. I didn't have a Johnny Resnick's picture on my wall, but I enjoyed the songs.
Yeah, it's fun music. Dizzy of the Girl, which has sold over 4 million copies in the U.S. alone, was released on September 22nd, 1998, peaked at number 15 on the Billboard 200 charts. The album will forever be remembered for the band's two monster hits, Slide, or as Kathy calls it, Smile.
Yeah. Smile.
And yes. Iris, both of which top the mainstream rock tracks, rock tracks chart as well, along with top 20 single Black Balloon. I always like Black Balloon, too. That's a good song.
And the song that just happened to be played by Kevin Weatherly out in KROQ in L.A., Name. That song had been out for a while, and he just picked that as a single and took off and then revived the Goo Goo Dolls' career, because they were mostly a punk band before that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. October 12th, the Fillmore, they'll be playing. And that's what I have in music news for you this morning. Thank you again for our friends at Deeds & Watson for being here with the Real Philly Deli Face-Off. And if you would like to vote, you can. There's a lot of great delis that have stopped in with their specialty sandwiches. Anna's Corner Store brought the Zep. Sonny's Italian Deli brought the Junkyard. Forrest's brought the Smokestack. Marinucci's brought Addie's Hot Chicken Hoagie. And Lindell Italian Specialties brought their Lindell Italian Club. Anybody have their favorite as
Linden.
Of now? Yeah, you like that one the best?
Yeah.
I set a couple of them in the fridge for me for after the show.
What was the spicy one I had, Case?
That was the hot Addie.
Yeah, that's good.
Spicy.
I also wanted to say thank you, Preston. They also, one of the competitors brought in some cookies and brownies from Dawn Frey Bakery. So thank you for those.
Okay. And don't forget, you can vote for any one of these at PhillyMag.com. RPD. RPD stands for Real Philly Deli. We'll take a break. We'll be back in just a second. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We have a special event. I should say Pierre has a special event coming up at Ardmore Music Hall. It is a Pierre Presents with Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. Not till June 6th. Pierre had been given some tickets away, but you'll need to tune into his show to get all of the details about how you can be a part of this exclusive event. It's great. I mean, it's like the storyteller stuff where they sit down, they play some songs, they talk about it, do an interview amongst the music being played, and it's for a small live studio audience. So
nobody does it the way Pierre does it.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool little exclusive thing that takes place. Let me see. What do I need? There's a few things I need to mention. Number one, I've had a really fun time today.
Yes.
Number two, it's really nice to see the sun starting to come out and know that we do have warmer days ahead. It's going to be about 50 today, 54 tomorrow, 66 on Thursday. Friday, 77 degrees, they're saying.
Those shorts are coming out.
Oh, they are. Saturday, 80. If you don't, you're going to feel all hot and sweaty.
Shorts and tube top.
And, I'll do the thank yous in a moment. Kathy, you want to mention something?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to add on to your numbering the great things. And I just wanted to add on that Kathy's Cuts is Friday.
Yeah.
And so now is the time. This last couple of days is where people start to cancel if they can't make it. So I've gotten a number of emails from people who still want to come out. Keep checking that page because we do have a few cancellations and we'll open up the spots right on the website. And you'll be able to sign up like that and grab the spot. So if you were waiting, you didn't get in, now is the time. We have a few cancellations.
Awesome. Good to know. Details at PrestonandSteve.com. With the other events we're doing, too. I've got to walk a mile in her shoes, and we're trying to get people registered for that, which you can do, and that's coming up on May 5th. And then, Nick, you have your event that's rapidly approaching as well.
Same day as the MM Barbecue.
That's right.
It's the morning, but it's the Big Climb Philly. We're doing the FMC Tower in honor of my nephew, Luca. Luke is my brother Adam's son, and he has leukemia. He's doing well, but he does have a battle in front of him. And so this is for the PALLS, the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. And it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're climbing over 1,000 stairs, so we're going to do that in the morning and then head over to Camden for the MM Barbecue later that day. But we need team members, just like you need team members for Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, and we need people to join us. So that information is up on PrestonandSteve.com as well.
Oh, and the day after MM Barbecue, the Crohn's and Colitis Walk is what I'll be participating in at the ballpark.
So. We like to jam them on in there, don't we?
Yeah, well, as it gets nicer, that's when all the walks and the runs start to take place.
They're a lot of fun, every single one of them.
Rides.
Thank you, by the way, Mr. Mark Summer.
Yay!
Who was here this morning. And Mark stopped by, just because he felt like stopping by. He didn't have anything to promote, and we love the man, and it was great to spend some time with him. He has more stories.
Oh, my gosh.
About celebrities and stuff that happens in that television industry, and he's just a wealth of knowledge, and he couldn't be a nicer guy.
He's connected. Like, you'll pluck out a story that you say there's no possible way he knows, you know, and you'll pick an obscure name. And I had lunch with him the other day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
wild. Were at Sonic.
But he's doing great, and one of the reasons he comes back here is for the expertise in medical care that he gets at Penn, because the man's had cancer, and
yes.
and he's come in for treatment a few times, and he says there's nobody better than those guys. Travis Konecny,
yeah,
from the Flyers, our first time talking with him, and couldn't have been a nicer guy, and I wish him all the best. He's all giddy because this is his first NHL playoffs. And he's really excited about it. 21 years old, about to go into playoffs. So.
God, do you remember the first time you played in the NHL playoffs?
Like it was yesterday.
It's like you freak out. You don't know what to do, but you're so excited.
I had to wait till I was 23.
Yeah. Tomorrow night they're in Pittsburgh, 7 o'clock. That's first game, so good luck to the Flyers. Thank you also to Kyle Fitzpatrick, who was on the program, our artist, and Gerard, the recipient of Tattoos Day today. And thank you to Dietzen Watson and the Real Philly Deli Face-Off that is taking place. You can vote for your favorites at phillymag.com/RPD, and all of the delis. Thank you guys for coming in and feeding us this morning. Nick, one more thing do you want to mention?
Just wanted to say that Flyers game is going to be on MMR tomorrow night.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Because of Sixers and so forth.
Sixers have their station. Yeah, they have their final regular season game tomorrow night. Flyers have their first postseason game, so it's an exciting time to be a Philly sports fan.
Absolutely. Well, looky who's here.
Speaking of Philly sports fans.
Yes. Yicky-doo.
Yicky-doo, as they say.
Look who blew in.
How you doing, man?
Fine.
Pierre Robert.
I'm loving life.
In the flesh.
I'm going to rope me a steer and kiss me a pretty girl.
That's going to be
that's,
a beautiful
that's kind of your phrase.
That's it. That's all I know.
It's your get her done.
Yeah. It's my get her done. Yes.
All right. We need to do the letter of the day?
Yes.
All right, here it is.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is... What is he doing?
He's having a seizure. Oh.
The Preston and Steve
Show. Put a pencil in his mouth.
Brought to you today by the letter.
Me and Nick were having a shootout with our fingers. R as in radical.
All right. And we have a trip or two to Vegas, and you can experience Fear the Walking Dead Survival, Vegas's newest thrill attraction. And that includes two nights hotel, airfare, ground transportation in Vegas, and two passes to Fear the Walking Dead thrill attraction. Don't miss AMC's Survival Sunday starting at 9, 8 Central, only on AMC, with the historic season finale of The Walking Dead, followed by the premiere of the all-new Fear the Walking Dead. It must be at least 18 years of age to enter. We will give that away on Friday. What's happening today, cowpoke?
Well, I'm not too sure about that new hand we brought on.
Me and Nelly, my horse, we're going to saddle on up to the bar. We call it a saloon. I'm going to talk to
you. You leave the horse outside.
I'm going to talk to Miss Kitty.
Miss Kitty, oh, by the end of Gunsmoke, it had 9 hysterectomies. They couldn't get it all out.
Only a certain portion who's listening will know Gunsmoke, but it was the longest running Western of all time.
She started as a dance hall, you know, beauty, and by the end of it, she was on the cover of AARP.
I thought it was the longest running television show.
You might be right. Yeah, you might be right.
At least I answered a trivia question, like a Trivial Pursuit trivia question years ago, that something else may have surpassed it, but it was a long, long, long running show.
Probably The Simpsons now at this point.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe.
James Arness played Matt Dillon.
What famous science fiction role did he play? Do you happen to know?
Dr. Zhivago.
No, he played that great science fiction Dr. Zhivago. He played the thing. Quick. He played the creature in the original version of The Thing.
Really?
He was the creature, yeah.
You know everything. All right, on the show I will have, this is cool, tickets for 311 and The Offspring. I love those guys. And Gym Class Heroes at Festival Pier. That's going to be August 10th. Birthday Bucks coming up at 11 and 1. We'll have Workforce Blocks of Bob Marley and Incubus and Kiss.
All right.
And
bye, people!
And we'll have a Double Shot Tuesday, many of them being you call it's fun day.
All right. Thank you, Pierre. Let me take a moment to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Park and the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer, and by Sergeant Scrap. Attention, tradesmen, don't take crap for your scrap. Learn more at sergeantscrap.com. That's SGT-scrap.com. Tomorrow, being a Wednesday, we'll go live on Fox Good Day, spend some TV time. We're also going to have three Winter Olympians in our studio.
Awesome.
Red Gerard, Jesse Diggings, and Jamie Anderson all stopping by.
Excellent.
Plus, we're going to talk to Ike Barinholtz.
Love him.
And World B. Free is going to be stopping by.
Oh, wow.
What a day.
Zowie.
I'm going to stay home and listen.
And $1,000 in cash, your chance to win with birthday bucks, which Pierre's going to get to you in about 10 minutes, gang. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. And we will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Hunting is the worst. Why does everyone have to live so close together? I can literally see what the guy is watching on TV right next to my house. I hate it.
Next message.
Oh, the Hershey's gold. Oh. The peanuts and the pretzels and the creaminess. Oh, the best. I love them.
Next message.
To the guy in the whatever the f*** that thing is, drive like a normal person. You're not some f***ing Fast and Furious. It's a regular highway. There's no f***ing cameras. Slow the f*** down.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line. Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.